Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and I am your host. Just so there's no confusion, I'll say once again, good evening, everyone. I'm Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk. We are that talk show that is made for men by men. Ladies don't even want to miss our show because we discuss some of the most provocative challenges that face our society today. And we always do it from a man's perspective. We talk about life, love, relationships, social challenges. And we're not doing it to be politically correct or incorrect. These are things that our society tends to sweep under the rug or pretend like it's not there. And yet we all know it's there. We just feel like we can't discuss it. So here on Straight Talk, we have very straight talk about adult topics. And the fact that it's done from a man's perspective, well, that's a perspective that has been missing from our society for decades. You guys have heard me say that we've been listening to women talk about life, love, relationships, money, career. They've told us all the things they wanted and all the things that are wrong with men. And men made some changes. And women even told us what it meant to be a man. You know, women are smarter than men, so they told us that we're simple creatures. We're not very smart, and we only want one thing. That's what they told us. They assured us that's what it means to be a man. And a lot of guys have, well, you know, fallen right into that. So tonight, man, we're going to tackle that and many more things. So like this video as you come in. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, man, you'll want to subscribe because you'll want to hear what I'm going to say tonight and everything else going forward. I have had a reputation, so I've been told, of being an arrogant asshole. I now take it as a term of endearment. And tonight I'm going to hold up that reputation firmly because we're going to have this very cold, I'm going to sound cold and calculating. It's going to sound like all the things that you should never say or ask a woman, and definitely not things that you should educate boys, since men are so simple and not very smart. We're simple creatures who only want one thing. So we're going to talk about sex indirectly. Well, we're going to talk about that life supply that we all carry in our, what some people call ball sack, the seeds of life. We are the farmers that can plant. So men can hunt and plant. And we're going to talk about the choices men make with those seeds. And this is an important conversation because men are finding themselves in situations they don't want to be in. So we're going to talk about how men can mitigate and have a much better life. And, well, for the women who don't like it, there are some options for you also. So, guys, ladies, I'm telling you, ladies, you do not want to miss this one. If you have a son, you want to get him to listen to this show. Share this, share the link with him. If he's not subscribed to my channel, you want to have him subscribed. So guys, as you come in, smash that thumbs up. Smash the subscribe if you're not there. I drop my PayPal and Cash App. Your support is always appreciated so I can continue doing the work, the research, and the brainstorming that it takes to come up with subjects. But tonight, I'm really urging guys, if that you want to be part of this conversation, and you want your sons to hear it. So these are the kinds of conversations men need to have with their sons, their nephews, your younger brothers. These are conversations men need to be having with one another. And I'm going to present questions that you can ask to women. So I hear a lot of men saying they feel like they're in a between a rock and a hard place, and they're in situations they don't want to be in, and court systems and government and all that. So let's talk about solutions and also talk about how to navigate and mitigate so you can avoid many of these things that you say you don't want. 007, I see you. I see you. I see you. I'll drop the stream yard. SW, thanks for joining. Always love having you there. And yes, we're going to want a female's point of view if they want to join. But this is really a man-sized conversation. Love to have the women come in and join us. But I think a lot of women are going to see this as a very cold and calculating conversation. And it's not about playing chess and checkmate. This is about making wise decisions and having a life that you want. You know, last week I talked about alimony and palimony and things men can do to avoid those, right, and better understand what they are. So now we're going to take it up several notches, and we're going to look at how you really set up the life you want, so that you're no longer talking about court systems and all that other stuff. And the kinds of questions you want to ask women before you put yourself in a highly committed situation of planting your seed in a woman. I got you, 007. I guess you're on a bond mission tonight. So, you guys know I take phone calls also. The number to call in is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. So before I take calls or let anyone on in on Streamline, let you in on YouTube, some of my thoughts before I get into all of them. What's going on, buddy? Sydney, good to see you guys on Instagram. Thanks for joining. So like I said, I did a show on alimony and palimony. And if men stop marrying and impregnating women, then it's perhaps, well, definitely you can stop worrying about child support. Maybe it would also have an impact on alimony. And the kinds of questions I'm going to lay out may help you avoid a lot of things. And if women don't have children, well, can they go to the government for a welfare check? And see, perhaps, and you know, there are lots of good reasons I hear about having children. But if things have gotten as out of control as they are, and men being seen as simple and not smart, and we are sperm banks, I mean, that's one of the things that I thought about when I wrote this. Like, for decades, many women claimed they only needed a man to serve as a sperm bank. And her belief was she could raise children alone and be the mother and father. And I know there's a lot of women who claim they don't need a man, but the child does. And when you raise a child in a one-parent home, the child is emotionally traumatized. Unless you're a psychologist or you know, you've got your master's in sociology, there's not much you can do for that child. You can talk about all the love, but there's a void. And we talked about that last Friday, about men having a void and looking for relationships to fill those voids. So your kids are traumatized because there's one parent in the home and they feel abandoned by the other parent's absence. So like, why even bring a child in the world if you're not going to give them what they need? So this whole notion, I can raise the child alone, but what does the child need? I mean, how selfish is that? So as men, we're actually the key to a woman getting pregnant. unless she goes to a sperm bank. And what's most unfortunate is a lot of women only see us as sperm donors and ATM machines. And once she has your sperm, she may not need you anymore. So the question is, how do we become a stronger society? Can we even be a strong society if we're raising children that are being emotionally traumatized for generations, like the gaps, the voids, to not knowing how to be a man, a father, or even knowing how to relate to a man as a girl? How does that impact us? Are we actually seeing that now? So is it time for men to take a stand and withhold their seeds? So, and aside from saving children from being emotionally traumatized, it will stop women from exploiting men for child support. So if you stop impregnating them, they can't scream they want child support. They're on their own. And would society benefit? And I've got to close my window. I've got a few children in the neighborhood here. So what's going on, Lando? See you in the house. Yeah, I don't know. I've got some other thoughts about this, SW. See, men have to stop being helpless about things. Like there's nothing you can do. I'm going to take a couple of calls. I see you, Red Pill Ghost. Hold tight. West Coast, what's going on, West Coast? I'm going to take two calls. Area code 870 and 605. You're both live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name? Where are you calling from? 870, you go first.
What's going on, T?
Hey, what's happening, man? Thanks for joining.
Good old Arkansas, man. Just got through feeding the chickens. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm, you know, in the old days, they say, I'm groovy, man.
That's good. Yeah, so I take that to topic. Yes, we do. Yes, sir. Yes, we do, Ted. We do need to stop doing that. Just like our long and tall, these black women to keep their leg closed. At times, start telling dudes they keep it zipped up, man.
Okay.
Yeah, really. It's time now. It's time to tell these boys that, you know, if they not according just by what the child support law say. But if you ain't ready to be no real man and take care of no child, you don't need to be laying up and knocking nobody up. And you know me, Ted, I ain't going to sugarcoat and I ain't going to bite my tongue. It's time to call a spade a spade.
All right. Fair enough. Hold 1 second, Kendrick. 605, you're live and on the air. What are your thoughts? We're talking about should men stop impregnating women. What are your thoughts on this?
Hey, Ted. Hello, Kendrick. How are you guys doing?
Good evening, Mr. Joe.
We know your voice. You've got the unique voice calling from Montana.
Yeah, well, that's a good topic. I'm with Kendrick 100%. If you're not getting ready to take care of a child, do not produce a child on this planet. I've always had that philosophy. If you can't really rear the child the way that a child should be reared, if you want to send a child to private school, for example, and you can't afford it, then do not create a child. It goes for women as well as for men. So children are the most important responsibilities that we have. Let's take a look at that in a very responsible way. So I'm just going to lay back and listen to the show.
So what about the ladies who say, I've met women who said, you know what, I just need a man to get me pregnant. I don't need him to raise them. I just need a man to be a sperm bank.
That's BS, because a child need their daddy. Every child need their daddy in their life, regardless of what these broads may tell you.
I understand.
I'm a living witness.
Women have said, women have literally said those words. And what she added, she said, is Madonna did it, so why can't I?
You ain't Madonna. It's just that simple. That's what you should have told him. You ain't one of these celebrities. You not one of these royal family members, so don't be jumping up copying what you see somebody else do. Think about it, Ted. If it didn't work for Ike and Tina Turner, what makes you think it's going to work for me and the Nick Brock? Come on now. We got to be realistic, and we got to use common sense with this kind of stuff here, right here.
Okay. Hold on, guys. I want to bring in area code 310. 310, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from? Oh, I guess. All right. So, Red Goes Pill, you're live and on the air, YouTube. What's going on, man? Thanks for joining.
What's the topic today?
So we're asking, should men stop impregnating women?
Hey,
Ted, I'm on now.
All right, hold up, Ridge. Go ahead, Ridge.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, like, I mean, like, guys, you know, just men and stuff, you know, like, we're supposed to, you know, just, protect our seed. Because a lot of the females on these days, they're gonna try their best to, like, you know, just trap you and stuff, and, like, you know, just foster the stipends from you, which is the child support on a monthly basis. I see this all the time, especially, I mean, like, you know, just professional sports and stuff, you know, like these, like, I mean, these, like, top tier, like athletes and stuff, they plan to see it in, like, you know, a couple of, you know, females and stuff, and then, like, right after, they have to, you know, just pay the child support, you know, like, it can cost, you know, like, just ranging from, you know, just $5,000 to sometimes $20,000, like, on a monthly basis, and it's sad to see stuff, and, like, you know, all I can say is to the men out there and stuff, you just work on them, don't go on Raw, because it's not worth it, you know? I mean, it's not, you know, just worth it at all. Because it almost, like, happened to me and stuff at 16 and stuff, where, like, you know, my ex and stuff, you know, she, like, you know, just lied about, like, not taking the pill and stuff. And I'm glad, like, you know, she was joking around with me. But the problem is, you know, I was just scared shitless for my life. And now I'm, like, you know, just 19 years old, and, you know, I'm more, like, aware of, you know, like, of what type of females and stuff I'm going to, like, you know, like, just associate with and stuff. So, yeah, there's my statement, Mr. Santos.
Okay. Perfect. Ridge, you're back. And Fat Teen Banks.
Yeah, hey, well, hello, gentlemen.
I never understood why men are ejaculating their seed so readily into unfit women. Yeah, I want to address that too. So, yep, good, great thought. So go ahead, Red.
Yeah, well, I just want to say hello again to the fellas and everything. I was listening in. You know, I heard a country boy in Montana. You know, they was basically putting it on the guys to be more responsible. But you're responsible for getting her pregnant, but you're not responsible for her having the child. She has 100% that. And, you know, the guys is more victims than anything. She, you know, you're actually, men are actually the prey in the system. So she's actually setting you up, and you know, that's my whole point, because they were trying to say, well, these guys need to be this or that. That is true, but she's actually getting what she wants.
Well,
it's not a mistake, you know.
Hold up, Ted. Go ahead.
Ted, I want to say something else. I just want to say something else real fast. You're all right. Everybody should not be having kids. Everybody should have to qualify to be a parent. I believe that. So
yeah.
that's maybe what I wanted to say. You know. Okay.
No, Rich, that's what you just said is important. And actually, I'm going to go down a list of questions men need to be asking. Not only men need to be asking women, fathers need to be having these conversations with their sons and saying, look, you need to be asking these questions. I mean, because raising, what Joe said, having a child is an important responsibility. So, you know, it's
right.
You know, having sex, yeah, it feels great and all that, but it just because you have sex doesn't mean it needs to turn into another life coming on the planet.
Okay.
That someone has to be responsible for, right? So if it's not you,
right,
it's going to be thrown into a system and the taxpayers taking care of it, or the woman does it on welfare. But the if men don't really think about the kinds of questions they want to ask a woman before even going down that path, you know, men ultimately have the power to decide whether the woman gets pregnant or not, and whether she's
right.
He decides whether she's qualified or not. So you can still have sex
right.
with her, and she may say, "I'm on the mm-hmm. pill," and she's lying. So you know, we're going to talk about even some things that what can men do to you know protect themselves.
Well, you're right, but you just said what you said there was that the fathers need to have this type of conversation, but the daddies is not around. You know, that starts right there. Okay.
Yep, right.
Oh.
So you create a trap, right? You remove the father, and he's not now. There's a man. There's a void in this boy's life, and the girl, right? But the boy, a void in the boy's
yeah.
life, making decisions and understanding how to navigate relationships. So. But so that's why I'm going to address a lot of these questions, and really I'm going to talk about a mindset and a place for men to come from, because of where we've gone in society, it might sound cold, mm-hmm. but these are the things men need to be thinking about. Period, is what I'm going to address.
Yeah, of course, but remember is. You know, there's been millions and millions of abortions in this country. So if she sees that your seed don't have no value, she will abort it. So, you know, these athletes and celebrities, these rich guys, you see any of these broads aborting their seed? You see any of these black women aborting some of these white guys' seed? So I'm making a point.
I get that.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I'm done.
They laying there with all the Tyrones and the Chads, all those types. All the ones they get pregnant by. Not the dudes like me, Reg, and Mr. Joe, and whoever else in the line. They choosing the baddest persons out of us that we ain't ready to be no far and getting pregnant intentionally. That's just my observation. Now, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong.
It happens, but even when the women who don't do that, right, and guys find themselves in divorce court and paying child support, I mean, I forget which entertainer it was, and Reg is bringing up a good point with athletes. Some woman was getting $20,000 a month for child support and saying it's going to cost me $20,000 a month to raise a child. It doesn't cost that much money. She's getting $250,000 a year. That's what it costs to raise an average child from birth until 18. This woman is getting that in a year. So she found herself an entertainer with money. So there are women who are using men like ATMs, and the child is just a meal ticket. Okay, another number. I'm not sure who it is. It's a 111. So
it's a private.
Hello,
number.
This may be me. Are we connected?
Yes, we are. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm Richard from the West Coast. I just wanted to...
Thanks for calling.
Hello?
Yes, I was saying, hey, thanks for calling, Richard. And everyone else, can you go on mute because there's background noise and it's making it hard to hear everyone. All right, go ahead, Richard.
I was just going to say that, look, with the, you said that a woman, I was reading your write-up, and you said that a woman is impregnated by a man unless she goes to a sperm bank. Actually, it's the same in both cases. The woman is allowing her body to be impregnated. And I was noticing the kids that were sitting on the couch, and presumably, although it's not a close-up shot, some of those are males. And indeed, if they are males, look how they're being raised. And then you're asking those people to be responsible when they're victims. So most of these women are having sex with the same guys. There are few guys, I don't know, they say the 80-20 or something like that, but there are a few guys that are being very, and I'm going to say it's irresponsible, yes. But
right.
It's what the woman has bred. So she has actually produced the very thing that she's complaining about.
Correct.
So I think until much more accountability and responsibility is placed where it needs to be, this is not going to stop. And by the way, women have about 30 forms of birth control, and they can use those. And they don't have no child gets born unless a woman wants it to be born. So I know we act as if we view women as equal and all of that, but we really don't. And the reason we don't hold them fully accountable. And if you don't believe me, just reverse the situation. If it were men doing the same thing with the same opportunities to avoid the problems that women have, it would be a wrap. We wouldn't even be questioning this. But because they're women, we're giving them a free pass. So that's my point. And very few men have the guts or the intestinal fortitude or the balls to really hold women accountable as they should be.
So yes.
spoken like a true West Coast player. How you doing? I'm from South Central.
Hey, how's it going, sir?
How you doing, my man? Another West Coast G in the house. Let's keep it real now.
So
go ahead, Ted.
Here's where I'm Richard. Here's where, so ultimately you're right. Woman has the choice of whether she has the baby. If she doesn't want to have it, she gets an abortion. She doesn't need your permission, right? If a man
or whether she gets pregnant, Ted.
I'm sorry.
Or whether she gets pregnant.
No, absolutely, right. So she chooses. So I ask women all the time, who's responsible for your womb? And they get silent, right? So only you can determine whether or not you get pregnant, period. There's no way. As an adult female, if you know how pregnancy works, you need to take action. As you said, there's enough birth control. And there are women who are very firm and say, no condom, no sex. And so you have the right to say that. If you're raped, that's a different story. So women have the decision whether they have sex or not and whether they are going to get pregnant. And then once they get pregnant, they can decide whether they're going to abort or not abort, and a man doesn't have that choice. He's got to pay child support even if he doesn't want to be a father, especially if he doesn't think that woman is worthy of being the mother of his children. So maybe men need to be asking. And I understand there are some women you just want. Guys are pumping and dumping, and you need to be really responsible if you're just playing around with a woman for sex. But there are women who will claim they want to be mothers and they want to be a family with you. And I think the amount of divorces that are initiated by women is about 80% now. So it's not guys who are walking out on their families. It's women who are driving the divorce rate. And so guys need to be asking women who claim they want to be married, Why should I even impregnate you? Like, and if something does happen to me as a father, how do I even know you're going to be a good mother? And as a single mother, can you afford a family, a child, or children? And as a single mother, can you give the children everything they need? You know, do you even want?
Well, you know, just a couple of points, if I may. If a woman doesn't have a ring on her finger, and the only reason we're talking about this is because women are involved, and I submit to you that's the only reason. A woman should, unless she has a ring on her finger, she shouldn't get pregnant. We have encouraged, as a society, we've encouraged single motherhood. It is supported by the furthest levels of the law. Because what we've done is we've subsidized single motherhood. And so if you look at those kids, I'm just reflecting back on that picture you have. The system benefits both ways. It benefits by catering to the woman. It benefits by creating this from school to this pipeline from school to prison, because, you know, there have been studies done in Scandinavian countries. I think the largest one it was many hundreds of thousands of kids, and we find out that there are no benefits to single motherhood. It is horrible. It is better for a father to raise kids than if we want to talk about single parenting, because fathers prepare children, girls and boys. They're better equipped to deal with the real world, because fathers basically are order-driven. And so the system will promote, and all of us do it because we're part of the system, but, you know, several of these prison companies are on the New York Stock Exchange, okay? So these kids that you see sitting on that couch, the likelihood is that they'll go into the institution. And those institutions are profit-making. So even on these, and this is a term I got from a lady that actually worked in the in this industry, she called those wastage kids, and that's what I'm going to refer to them basically. It's unfortunate but true. These are wastage kids, and these kids, for the most part, they grow up, they get involved with the legal system, and they become incarcerated. As they become incarcerated, they are money producers. They produce money for GEO Inc. There are two major, and you guys can look them up, there are two major prison industries on the New York Stock Exchange, and they're just waiting with open arms for all these kids that are raised by single mothers. So it is productive. And if you look at the fact, I think I heard you talk about child support, those courts are a bureaucracy that make a lot of money. Basically, they parasite off the back of men. So they aren't going away voluntarily. And they often talks about who benefits. There's a Latin phrase for it. But when you look at it, these kids, as wrecked as their lives are very profitable for certain segments of the population. And that's the reason they encourage single motherhood.
Hey, Richard, I've been telling these guys that for years. I had a son, and I had to go to court to get joint custody of him, and it only took me one court visit down there. And my case didn't even get seen that day to get the education that I've been telling these guys about. It's a money racket. Just like you said, even in a court system, when you're trying to establish paternity, it's a money racket. It's a money racket.
Right. Yeah, the counselors, the judges, the attorneys.
Oh, yeah.
It's all a racket. Yeah. It's not a real court, then, by the way. Family court is not a real court of law. I think they call it a court of equity. And the reason it's not a real court of law, you don't have to serve someone like you do in regular court. In small claims court, you have to make sure you serve the person. Otherwise, the case isn't. So small claims court is a racket that's played on all of us, okay?
Family court. Family court.
Family court. Thank you. The woman is the trigger. The woman is the conduit. And a lot of women stupidly play into this system because a lot of women are losers. Now, if I just may expand this, just because I like to deal with solutions, if I may offer a solution.
Go right here, sir.
Yes. All women need to be forced in to sign up for the military, because we have, if you look at that woman that's sitting on the couch, a ne'er-do-well, with no options in life, and the military can be a wonderful organization, and it also gives them structure, which is what they don't have. But look, unless we as men are going to, and women of quality are going to look for real solutions, then, of course, all we're going to do is sit around and watch the paint dry. It's going to continue to evolve just as it has. But we need to require women to register for this, selective service, just like men, and that will introduce them to a job rather than welfare.
Well, that too. But just like I said, it's a money maker. You need to make them accountable. And if you made them accountable for this stuff, the kids would be better off.
That's what mandatory service would do for women. Realize, I'm going to tell you this, women have no obligation to society. As things are right now, women have no fundamental obligation to society. Or they can do whatever the hell they want to do, for the most part.
Oh, you look at children with power. That's what you got, children with power.
Exactly. And this thing is also true. They have signed these baby Moses laws. See, there's no reason. We should be ashamed of ourselves, really. They have what's called the baby Moses law. This is basically throughout the United States. No blame, no shame, no names. And that means not only does a woman have choices before pregnancy, but even after pregnancy, she can turn a child into a fire station, a hospital, or a police station with no further financial liability. Men are the only ones that are forced into parenthood. There's a little bit of background noise.
Hold on.
Yeah, women are not forced to be parents.
About to say something, country boy.
But another thing everybody missing the point is, if they had a choice, they got a choice to choose who they going to have that child with. That's the point we missed. We allowed them to go out here and do all this stuff.
You see that?
Now it's been backfired on all of it.
That is the point of the show tonight. We can talk about all the court systems and women being children and all that, but ultimately, even though a woman decides whether she gets pregnant or not, ultimately a man decides whether he wants to plant whether his seed is going to be planted in that woman. Because I've gone through life and I've done it without having children, and so has my brother. So
you've just been lucky. Ted, you've just been lucky.
No, let me tell you why I'm not lucky. If we just look at strictly the black community, the majority of black men have no children.
Well, let me just say this. If may I jump in?
Sure. I want to deal with numbers, the facts.
Yeah, sure. Look, I like to deal with numbers too. Whenever there's sex between a man and a woman, if they're fertile, reproductively capable, there's a possibility of sex. Look, there's a case of a doctor, I used to keep track of this, in New York, two doctors, one female, one male. She performed fellatio on him, harvested his sperm, and then impregnated herself with a turkey baster and charged him for child support. And this was a bitter, hostile, court battle, as you can imagine. And imagine the child that's the fruit of that foolishness. But the very thing is, any man that doesn't have kids, he can't totally attribute it to his smartness, because pregnancy can happen at any time if you're having sex. Now, if you totally abstain, that's a different thing. But if you have sex, there's always, I'm going to say, the probability, not possibility of it. But I understand being cautious, and men that have something to lose indeed should be cautious. But look, in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, sex is listed on that pyramidal hierarchy, okay? So sex, some of us have stronger sex drives than others. If you go back and you look at Roe versus Wade, they were attempting to hit women, the opposition, at her very sex drive. That is to say that she didn't need an abortion. She could curb, she could keep it in her pants, as it were. That was one of the premises of Roe versus Wade. Because it was a woman, we didn't want to inhibit women's sexual desire. But we will do that to a man. So humans are going to have sex. Let's face it. They are. But what men have done as the creators and maintainers of society, they have eliminated the biological necessity of women getting pregnant, you know, when they didn't want to. In other words, men invented the pills and all these preventative measures for women. Women didn't invent these. And so what I'm saying is we turn back on men and say it's your responsibility and yours alone, and through legal means we'll hold you accountable and not the woman. Although she has equal legal rights with the man, we don't hold her equally culpable. Because she, you know, I've counseled people in cases where the man wanted the child and the woman didn't, and she went and had an abortion against the guy's desire to have the baby. So I'm just saying, you know, we can keep pointing fingers at guys, but it's not going to change because the very guys that are doing this, for the most part, the women are producing these guys.
Can I jump on here, gentlemen?
Let Brian jump in on this. Go ahead, Brian.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you all for letting me have this opportunity to speak. Special shout out to Seth Santos and having this forum.
I actually
studied this concept in graduate school about 3 or 4 years ago, public policy analysis. I did it on child support. Here's the problem that I see with the system. What we're doing with child support, and I'm going back to the person that was paying $20,000 a month, is that we're not necessarily legislating finances. We are legislating morality for men. And here's why I feel so strongly about this. A man has, between the time he puts his penis in a woman until it ejaculates, to have sex and not be a parent. That's about a 5-10 minute window of opportunity at most. A woman has about a 10 month window of opportunity. There is a separation between sex and pregnancy. There is by a Plan B pill, there is another separation between pregnancy and birth by Roe versus Wade and abortion. There is a further separation between pregnancy and parenthood by virtue of adoption. And then a woman can change her mind again after 30 days, say, this is not for me. Just drop the kid off at a fire station or a library or a hospital and do absolutely nothing. So the way that I look at it, unless a woman is a widow, it is impossible for a woman to be a single mother without agreeing to be one. That's why I have no sympathy whatsoever for them. I'll make a bit of an exception. Widows, of course, they didn't ask for single motherhood. It happened to them. A woman comes home and sees her husband in bed with another woman, or by virtue of me living in Atlanta, might see him in bed with another man, gets divorced, has to see that. It is 125% of baby mamas self-selected to be one. That's why I have less than a shred of sympathy for them. But I wanted to touch back on something, gentlemen, and I'm going to let my flow go here. I really don't blame the women. What I blame is the political system that basically tells women, you can have sex, conceive a child, do absolutely nothing for it. That same legal system
child is conceived, that child deserves the same quality of life that you live,
right,
whether you want to provide it or not. I was trying to tell this female in another group something. This lady said something to the effect of, if I have a two-bedroom apartment and I have your child in it, my rent's $1,000 a month, then your share is $500. My problem, because I've been in real estate for 25 years, a one-bedroom apartment is only $800 a month. So her rent goes up, her cost goes up by $200, but she expects the benefit to be $500. And I made another argument. If you really want to split things fairly, do women giving child support split the tax credit? Are they splitting these stimulus checks they're getting right now? Are they splitting that tax refund? No, they're not. So for me, I think the problem, and I actually suggested this in one of my programs, was child support should be based on whatever amount we use for public assistance. If we can tell a woman in the projects, you can raise three kids off $750 a month, then don't tell that football player that your kid needs $250,000 a month.
Right.
You might be able to afford it, but what's the price? That's why I say we legislate not finances, but morality. Man, I'm off my soapbox, gentlemen.
No, dude, what I want you to talk about one case, that case, that milestone case where the father of man was not the father of the child.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Ted. Thank you so much. This case is out of Florida, Sanford, Florida, and I forgot the name of it off the top of my head, but I remember that case in Virginia. What happened in this case was husband and wife.
Hey, hold on, Brian, one second. Someone's got some echo. Go on mute. Got it. Perfect. There you go, Brian.
All right, gentlemen. Thanks again for that. Parker versus Parker out of Sanford, Florida. Married couple. Get married, have a child, get divorced. The father's paying child support. The child turns about, I want to say about 3 years old, the father notices it doesn't look like him or the mother. Gets a DNA test done. It is not his child. He stops paying child support. The ex-wife takes him to court, and the state of Florida Supreme Court says, you should have known that your wife could have cheated. And even though we now know this is not your child, children should not have to suffer when adults make mistakes. So even though we know you're going to feel wrong, you still have to pay child support for this child that we know is not yours. Now, the reason I thought this case stands out, gentlemen, is it kind of puts into perspective, puts into focus the level of what I would consider political corruption in our family court system between Roe versus Wade, adoption, safe haven. Our justice system will not hold a woman legally responsible for a child she did conceive, but will hold a man legally responsible for a child he did not. Somebody please make that make sense.
So now when you understand this is the legal system, men need to be much smarter. So when you play basketball, you understand the rules of engagement. You understand the design of the game. If you step out of bounds with the ball in your hand, you lose the ball. If you throw the ball up in the air and it doesn't go through the hoop, you didn't score. If you double dribble, if you foul, like we understand and you learn to play the game within the design of it, right? Even though it may feel constrained that the ball has to go in the hoop and you can't step out of bounds, you learn to master the game even with all of those constraints. And this is what I'm getting. I'm not pointing the finger at men. I'm saying these are the rules of engagement. When you have sex, just like Richard said, there's a probability you can get a woman pregnant. If you don't want to play in the rules of engagement where with what Brian just said, even if the woman didn't conceive your child, we still can be legally responsible. You need to be a lot smarter about who you impregnate and how you qualify a woman for that. And men need to be like kind of ice cold about who they qualify before they start ejaculating or inside of a woman or even putting yourself in a situation where she could get pregnant. If you go in raw, if she tells you she's on a pill and she's lying, I mean, all of these things, right? So I'm saying men need to clearly get hard and fast, clear about the environment they live in. And you can't complain about the environment because it's set up. It's set up before you're even born. So you're going to have to make smarter decisions about who you impregnate or the probability of who you impregnate.
Let me interject this, gentlemen. And again, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak. I'm 50-plus years old. And my youth, being a baby mama was a source of shame. They pulled pregnant girls out of school.
Right.
Families, if your daughter was pregnant, other families would not let their daughters be friends with yours. Like I said, being a baby mama used to be a source of shame. Family law has made it a source of income. There are baby mamas who actually get more money in child support than her non-baby mama counterpart is getting with their job. Now, my problem is the legislation. Any behavior that gets rewarded gets repeated.
Exactly.
You know, I think that you said that a while ago. Bravo, hats off to you for that. So I'm not really surprised at the women that are doing this. I'm surprised at the court system, and I don't know who said this previously, but the way I look at it, gentlemen, the fatherless upbringing is the golden egg or the goose that's laying golden egg, because that judge knows the more money I give this woman today, the more likely I'm going to see that child tomorrow, that teenage mom coming in my courtroom in 15 years, that boy being arrested at 16 years old because he had no father figure. We've made being a baby mama so comfortable that this becomes the norm instead of the exception. And these judges know, I've said this a while ago, if you don't have a villain, you don't need a hero. So
excuse me, sir. What's your name, Brian?
Yeah.
Brian?
Yes, can you hear me?
Listen, bro, you're absolutely correct. Hey, my son got kicked out of a bunch of private schools. I went to court to get full custody. My son showed the court everything that was going on with him. His mother wasn't addressing. Guess what the judge told me?
I'm putting down. What
he said,
saying?
I'm not. He said, you got to go. You just don't want to pay child support. I said, listen, judge, I'm the petitioner here. Look at the document. She didn't take me to court. I took her to court. So you're absolutely right. So my son had a behavior problem that I said, hey, look at my son. Look what he's doing. He needs to be with his daddy. She can't handle it. Obviously, he needs to be with his daddy. That's what he told me. So you're exactly right.
That's it. So the court exists to solve problems. If there is no conflict, there is no use for the legal system. That's why they're going to keep giving the kid to the mom. I saw this in school. If you look at, if you really want to see the impact, no disrespect to anybody, gentlemen, if this applies to you, if you ever wanted to see the impact of a fatherless upbringing, go to your nearest prison. But think about it. Who's in that prison? People that is put there. So the family court judge, they know good and well that kids would be better off with the father, and society would be better off too.
Exactly.
But then there's no need for the judge. There's no need for the court attorney. There's no need for the child advocate. There's no need for the police. There's no need for the court. A lot of people are getting paid based on this dysfunction, and that's why there's no effort to correct them.
I understand, and this is why I'm saying, if you understand that's the playing field, men are going to have to take matters into their own hands.
Absolutely.
Well, excuse me, gentlemen. Ted, you are absolutely right. So guess what I did? Now, I did this at 42. I had a vasectomy. Once I figured out the game, I already knew the game. That's why I only had one kid. But yeah, I took everything. And actually, you know what a chick told me? She said, "Reggie, you took all the power when you had that vasectomy." A woman told me this. Think about that.
Reg, see, I didn't want to put that on the table, but that's sort of the million-dollar question. If men are – so, Reg, just correct me. Is your vasectomy, is it reversible?
Oh, okay, yeah, it is reversible. Now, but Ted, I understand where you're going. Listen, if you're 20-something years old, see, before you do that, you're going to go to counseling. They're going to talk to you. And most doctors, probably if you're in your 20s or something, I mean, they're probably going to say, no, we're not going to do it. But I was 42, okay? So, and I already had a kid. So there is a procedure, but it is reversible, Ted.
Okay.
What's that guy that Oprah loved, the white guy that does the Dr. Phil? Dr. Phil had to reverse and knocked up his wife. So it is, but I have to tell you, my vasectomy only cost me $20 with insurance.
Okay.
There's no coverage on the reversal. That's going to be $7,000 to $8,000 for you to reverse that.
How much to reverse?
It's going to be $7,000 to $8,000 to reverse that.
Ooh, are you serious?
Yep. Yep. Ted, if you want to know, I can tell you about it because I've been there. Just like when I was in the court system. Everything I tell y'all, the stuff I experienced, that I saw.
I get the whole court system, but that's, see, we already know, Brian just gave, that the court system doesn't even look at women as being legally responsible for their decisions. A man is not even the father of the child and still he has to pay the child support, right? That makes no sense.
Right.
Right.
So,
not going to correct it. And Richard on the West Coast, he laid it out eloquently that prison is business. War is business. You send men overseas to die in war, right? And you're a property of the U.S. government. You go to prison, you're still property of something. These are forms of slavery, right? So, and I understand the military has many benefits and discipline and you learn skills. But if you send men to prison, they're going to work for free. I mean, and you really screw them up. And just quick, like, time out. Hold it. Hey, Brian, thanks for the Cash App you just sent to me, man. Big thank you for that. So Brian just dropped the Cash App in there. Thank you very much, man.
You got me the other night, Teddy. No
worries. I definitely got you. Thanks for that.
But you're right. But you said, I know where you're going with this. The vasectomy gives you all the power in the game because – you can have a vasectomy and she not know it, and she think that she about to pull a okie doke on your ass,
exactly.
And you don't. But at the same time, listen, if you're a wealthy man, listen, like these athletes, right, I would just fucking freeze all the sperm that I could, okay? Freeze all my, as much, a gallon of sperm all these goddamn athletes and celebrities have. I have a vasectomy, and then later on in life, if I get married, whatever, or say I want to start a family, whatever, I would have it reversed. They have enough money to do that. They have enough money to do that.
See, Reg, that's what I'm getting at, right? So now, if you take that path, right, I'm gonna get a vasectomy, right? And now, no woman is, she can't game me with that, right? So if you decide you want to have a family, well, you know what? You better start asking this woman, why should I impregnate you? If something happens, how are you going to still be a good mother? You know, we have insurance and they can take care of you and all that, but now you're going to be a single mother. You know, and if you are, like, you know, there are women out there who are screaming, well, you better have money, so I want a nanny. So the question is, if she wants a nanny, that means you want to outsource motherhood. So now I'm questioning, do you really want to be a mother? Or are you just looking
No, the kid is a resource extractor. Whores don't love.
Reg,
parasites don't love.
Reg,
okay, I'm sorry.
That. What I'm after is like you said, you got a vasectomy and you took power away from the woman, right?
Right.
I'm looking at how men take power back.
Oh yeah, but guess what? A lot of guys. Listen to you, a lot of guys are having, especially just like my man said, is when you got something to lose, your mindset. The guys that these chicks is getting knocked up is a bunch of losers. You know that, right?
Look,
these some busters.
And it's only 18%.
Okay, so
it's only 18%.
Okay, so again, a lot of guys are having vasectomy. And like I said, if you're a wealthy man, you can freeze your sperm. You can reverse that shit. Why would you want to go give up all of this money, go through this shit? Oh, yeah, you're going to vasectomy, get it reversed. But you can freeze your sperm, too. You're a millionaire. It don't make no sense for these guys to have all these goddamn fucking kids running around here. Fucking freeze your sperm. I mean, freeze your sperm, have a vasectomy. Don't tell a bitch it's nothing. Blast away. When she comes, I already had one come back to me talking about she was pregnant. I looked at her like she was crazy. I just looked at her. I said, oh, how nice. Good luck to you and the father. I hate to tell you, I realized it. I just realized that I didn't want the system having no. I don't believe, just like the guy's talking about, I don't want the system having no say so in my fucking life.
And that's what I'm doing.
I'm going to realize that.
That's what this show is about. Go ahead, Country Boy. Richard, I
want to
hear from you again. Go ahead, Country Boy.
It's common sense stuff to you. That dude, all he got to do is pay the skeet that on her, get some toilet tissue, wipe her down, and flush that toilet tissue down the commode. It's just that simple. I ain't even going to let no doctor nowhere near me, nowhere near the family jewels say, one wrong slip, and you messed up for the rest of your day. Then you're going to have every verse but damn it to you. I'm not taking that chance. So my logic is pull out and wipe her down and throw it in some more and flush it.
Right. No question. Richard,
it ain't rocket science, kid.
But apparently it's not working, right? Like someone said, many men lack common sense when having sex. Richard, you've been quiet for a little bit, so what are you thinking?
Yeah, no, I was just listening to you guys, but Ted, I want to confront what you said earlier, and I applaud you for being successful in not having an unwanted child. But remember, it's just been luck. That's what I'm trying to impress you up on you, because the way the system is, every man is in jeopardy while no women are, as one guy also eloquently stated, that being a mother is absolutely a choice. Being a father comes with the heavy-handed imposition that the law, fosters upon men. Now, a lot of you, two things, and I want to juxtapose two things. If you look at this system, as we're talking about it, the way it is right now, the way women got that safe haven or baby Moses law is they were willing to kill the offspring. They were willing to kill the child that they had brought to term. I don't know if you guys recall that case with Ray Carew. It's one of the most famous, but it happens quite a bit if you look at look it up in the media about.
Hey Richard, I know about Ray Carew.
Yeah, exactly. But this happens a lot. Sometimes women are killed for just being stupid because they will, like police officers, they'll be having an affair with a police officer and tell the police officer that they're pregnant. And the favorite thing of some women is, well, man up. And then the police officer kills them with an unmarked gun. And other men do it too. But referring back to the case of Ray Carew, I understand as a man or as a human how horrible it can be to be trapped by a woman that way. I'm not saying he should have done that, but I understand the fact that he did do that. But remember, women
he didn't do
did
it.
That.
He hired. Remember, he didn't do it himself. He hired some guys to do it.
Right, that's right, that's right. But the point of it is women were willing to commit homicide in order to get this safe haven baby Moses laws passed. And so what men are going to have to do, in my opinion, is a combination of being ruthless, not to the point of what Rue did, but men are going to have to be ruthless. Why? Because the system is ruthless. Situations, it hasn't happened to me, but I've heard of situations.
Hold on,
the court will take every dime a man has.
Hold on, here. Richard. Hold on, Richard. Hold on. Reg, you got to go on mute, man, because I hear you glass.
Oh. Yeah, I'm drinking a Long Island. I'm sorry. I thought I had it on mute.
Yeah, go on mute. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, most of the men that get caught up in the system, unfortunately, are ne'er-do-wells, and they are the product of these single mothers. But there is a significant number of men that are good men, and they just had sex with bad women, okay, and women who were willing to use the system. So in order for men to get from under this, as I think you guys have alluded, there's going to have to be a combination of approaches. Get the legislation changed. It's going to be hard to get the legislation changed. It can be done, but it's going to be hard to get it done because men are the meal ticket. You are the meal ticket for a large swath of society. All those worthless-ass judges and lawyers and social workers and counselors, these people have formed a bureaucracy where they get money from the taxpayers, but they also use you as the leverage to get that money from the taxpayers. So this is a huge bureaucracy that they've set up. So I think a combination of forcing women to be accountable. Because if a woman has to give up her blood, and I often say there are two things that control the world, blood and money. And when I say blood, I mean life's blood. Men have to pledge their lives to the military before they can enjoy any of the benefits of society. Women don't. Now, gentlemen, that is significant, whether you are willing to deal with it or not. The military is a huge issue in all of our lives. And all I'm saying is that women don't have to participate in that. They're not required to participate in it. And I am saying that that would go a long ways toward the way these judges see women. And I think, Ted, you said it just a moment ago. Judges see men responsible no matter what women do.
Correct.
A lot of those judges do not, a woman can go out and just become an absolute whore. They don't care. They say they hold the men responsible. They say if your wife goes out and screws another guy and gets pregnant, it's your fault. It's your fault.
No,
and you have to pay. So the point is that men have to realize, and this is predicated on men are the protector provider in terms of public policy, okay? So that's the thing that men have to understand. Whenever you're dealing with a woman is a de facto police officer for your ass. That's right. She controls, you live at her whim because all she has to do is pick up the phone and call the cops, and the cops will kick you out of your house.
Yeah,
right.
But them goons can get her too.
Wait, we're getting a little bit off there. So here's
yeah, I understand, but it all deals. Let me just say this, Ted. That's true, but it all deals with the power, the supreme power that we give women. That's the point.
So here's why I'm going to tell you I'm not lucky. I lived the first in my late 20s. I had a woman move in with me. She was also in her mid 20s, and probably. Some people would say she was kind of like a nymphomaniac. We, for 5 years, we had a lot of sex. Not once did she get pregnant. No abortion. Zero. Years later, I lived with a second woman who was also in her mid-20s.
Wait, could I ask you to back up? Why didn't she get pregnant? Was she capable of getting pregnant?
That's a good question. She did. She had one boyfriend before me, and the first time they had sex, he got her pregnant. So I did not get the second woman. I did not get her pregnant. And the second woman, she's actually a mother now. She did get pregnant. So, you know, I grew up with two parents, so I was raised in a two-parent household, and I had things that I wanted to accomplish in life, and I knew that pregnancy wasn't going to be part of it. So when I was 20, I dated a woman who claimed that I had nothing to worry about. She was 32. Before we had sex, we had this long conversation about her being on the pill. And she said, I get my period every 3 months. Don't worry, blah, blah, blah. And she got pregnant. She had and so in the conversation, she said to me, if I get pregnant, you'll never know about it. I'll take care of it without ever telling you anything. Well, she got pregnant and she told me, and she was 32. So she was old enough to know better. And she had been married and divorced and had children. So I was capable of getting a woman pregnant, and in 5 years and in 3 years, neither of those women turned up pregnant because I knew I was being responsible. I knew there were things that I was doing in my life and wasn't going to get a woman pregnant without marriage. Period. There's no way around
it. Well, wait a minute, Ted. If I may ask you a question, are you sure that she got pregnant by you?
Who's that? The other woman?
Think about the woman. I think you named the woman that was 32 and told you you wouldn't have to worry about it, but she got pregnant anyway and told you about it?
Yeah, I'm comfortable to say because she aborted. She didn't ask me for anything. Hey, Red.
All right, but see, this is where I would like to confront you on this, if you don't mind.
Oh, hold on, hold on. Am I on?
Background noise, man. Got to go on mute. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. It was her choice. To whether or not to hold you responsible. She just chose not to, and that's my point.
The kind of conversations I have with women up front lets them know that I'm not playing in this father game, and the quality of women I choose is the second part, right? So I'm not choosing hood rat. You know, the woman who lived with me 5 years was in law school when I met her. She also came out of a two-parent household. In the suburbs of Long Island. So it's the quality of women also. And I have really straight conversations about where I stand.
Right. If I may, I like what you're saying, and I agree with you to a certain degree. But all I'm saying to you, all she had to do was take it up on herself to go to the authorities, and you would have been in the system. That's all I'm saying. Now, you can blindly say it was all in your power. And I agree. I agree with you that men should have open conversations with women. And I would say don't have sex with a woman who doesn't have anything to lose, all right? But I'm just saying to you the way the law looks at it, your conversation in an order of magnitude doesn't mean a damn thing if she chooses to take you to the authorities. That's all I'm saying.
All I can deal with are the facts. And the facts are she told me she couldn't get pregnant or I shouldn't worry, and she got pregnant and she took care of it. Outside of that, I don't make those I hate saying this publicly, but I haven't made those kind of errors. I lived with a woman 5 years, healthy, you know, fit, worked out in the gym every day. So she had been pregnant by one guy she was seeing before me. So healthy and, you know, and fertile. The second, also 3 years we lived together. We dated for almost four, never got pregnant, and she's a mother now. So and have I gotten someone pregnant? Yes. So there's no problems with that across the board. So I'm saying that men have to start taking matters in their own hand. You can tell me about the court systems all day long, and men keep saying, well, it's the court, it's the government, and it's stacked against. So men have to stop getting women pregnant. And if you are going to get pregnant, you need to make her qualify for your seed. And I understand that a lot of women are getting pregnant by a small percentage of guys who are irresponsible. And those men are growing up without fathers, and women are raising the very men they're complaining about. I understand that. And I'm saying they need to be having conversations where they have men or boys rethink this whole idea of how they engage women in sex and what's really behind it.
And I agree. Let me just ask you this. Do you think it's appropriate to say men get women pregnant? Do you think that's a factual statement?
That's a really good question. So I'm going to say women allow themselves to get pregnant. Like I said to you before, the question I ask women, who's responsible for your uterus? And if you look at the Asian community, and they have like a 3% or 4% teen pregnancy rate. So there's some responsibility going on there. That's not happening.
Hey, Ted, I don't mean to be rude, but I keep saying it all the time. She's in control of all of that. Okay, it's just all about not being accountable or responsible. Responsibility and trying to put it all on the guy.
No, I lived
it's a game.
5 years, she never got pregnant. There's a reason for that.
I want to interject something to all these brothers on this line with us right now. This my whole thing about brothers need to start getting women pregnant. Why can't us men still have as equal amounts of rights to parental rights that these women have? That's ought to be the big question right there. Some of these dudes need the ones like believe this man named Richard. Some of these women, like he said, they intentionally using that child support stuff against that dude just out of spite. They being spiteful with it. So what I'm saying is that dude should at least have equal say so with parental rights, should it be?
No,
I'm just curious. That's really why I ask you. I'm just curious.
They should leave the laws exactly the way they are, and men need to be a lot wiser about where they drop their seed. See, that's not what we're saying. I got it. A woman is ultimately responsible for her uterus. She has many forms of birth control. I get all that.
But I'm responsible for my seed, though, Ted.
Hold on. A woman can take your condom and insert it inside of her, right? So as Kendrick was saying, man, you use a condom, you need to dispose, you need to destroy it so she can't use it. I understand all that. And
what I'm saying, though, Ted, I'm still responsible for my seed, though. You know what I'm saying? Just like you just said, who you sleep with, you're the man, you're responsible for that too now. But I don't know how this law stuff playing messing all these dudes up though. All these dudes ain't crazy. All these dudes ain't messed up though, Ted.
It's not
hey, Ted. This is Richard. If I may make a quick comment.
Sure.
Yeah, these laws changed in 1973 with Roe versus Wade, Ted. And I would strongly, vehemently disagree with you that the laws should be the same, because the laws have allowed the very problem that we're talking about. In those other communities, there is shame. Shame is used, not praise. At one time, a single mother could not sit at the front in the church pews. In some churches, they allow that now. So we have actually embraced the destructive reality of single motherhood. So the laws changed.
Yeah.
Basically, what they said in 1973, and I give you a quick example, is that bastard children or children born out of wedlock were not given the same rights as those born within the confines of matrimony. And they changed that. They changed that because they had relieved women of social and legal responsibility, and then they placed it all on men. And I would say even now, excepting for first world countries, it is not that way. Women do have to monitor their womb. They do have to be the gatekeepers. Women in the U.S. now, what we call first world problems, can do any damn thing they want.
Come on,
as one guy stated very emphatically just a moment ago. So I disagree with you. The laws are jaded. The laws keep the problem going, the very problem that we complain about. The law encourages those problems. The same fool judge that will extract money from a man is the same asshole that goes down the hall and sentences the child to juvenile detention. Now, you tell, make that make sense to me.
I'm with you, Mr., because if you notice what's going on overseas in Eastern countries, them people not having these problems.
Right.
That the U.S. having, and it seems like
Respond to that, if he will.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He said the law should remain the same, and I'm telling him as recently as 73, the laws weren't the way they are now. They were changed to give women this absolute renegade behavior pattern.
So the laws should stay the same, because it's not the laws that are causing men to ejaculate into women.
But men were ejaculating in women before 1973.
I got it.
And we didn't have this kind of problem, Ted.
And you know there are consequences.
Okay, are you going to react to what I just said?
If the laws stay the same and you understand there are consequences, so maybe too many men are being raised to believe they have nothing to lose.
Well, that's exactly true, because the women who are out of control are raising these men. Don't you see the cycle? Those little boys, look at the picture that you put on. That's a very nice picture of the problem. Those young boys are going to be the very men that are impregnating the women that we're talking about. So the women are creating the problem that they're complaining about.
So let me ask you, Richard, is this the first time you've listened to my show?
No, I've heard your show before.
Okay. How'd you hear about me, by the way?
I don't know. Just strolling through the look, I guess you're going to close the door, cut out the lights on Blog Talk. But no, I visit Blog Talk on occasion.
the reason I'm asking that is, on so many shows, I've addressed the irresponsible behavior of women. I've addressed it over and over. I had a show about single mothers, and 85% of inmates are from single mother household. 90% of dropouts come out single mother home. You know, 60% of abuse. Yeah, like the single mother home produces delinquents. It produces the worst of our society. And I've done shows on it, and I understand that. So all the things that you've said, not only I've done a show about it, I have a private group on Facebook where those issues are addressed, and I drop posts and statistics. And people know me for using statistics a lot. So I understand. What I'm saying is, with me understanding everything you're saying, and I've done a ton of research in these areas, I'm saying the laws are not the problem. Even though I will not deny the laws are what you would call unfair, like they're illogical, I understand that. But we could fight the laws all day long, or we can tell men, look, let me tell you why you should stop impregnating women. Because if you impregnate a woman, I've met women who said, I'm going to use a man as a sperm bank, and I can raise them by myself. And this woman went to college with me, and I said, hey, you need to rethink that. You might think you don't need a man, but the child does, and I think it's selfish if you do that. That woman got married. I don't know if I had any impact on that, but we had a long conversation about how that was a poor decision and unfair to the child. So she got married. I assume she's still married. So I'm with you on everything I'm saying. But if I can live with a woman for 5 years and not get her pregnant, and I'm telling this woman never said no to sex. I'm willing to bet we had more sex than the average couple, right? And even after 4 years, we were still having a lot of sex.
Right.
I understood I had something to lose, and there were things that I wanted to accomplish in my life. And as cold as what I'm going to say, I knew I wasn't going to marry her. So it made no sense for me to get a woman pregnant knowing I'm not going to marry her.
Let me ask you this, Ted, if you don't mind. How did you usually have sex? Did you use birth control?
She used birth control for a few months and didn't like it. So let's say for out of the 5 years, 85% of the time she was not on birth control.
What about you?
Yeah, there was one scare, and it was some anomaly because in 1 year her period went from every month to it went to every other month for the whole year, and then the next year went back to every month. So
right. Let me just ask you. So sometimes both of you were being irresponsible. Neither of you used birth control, is what you're saying?
Neither of us used. I never used the condom with her.
Okay. Well, see, what you're saying, you're making my point, believe it or not. You were just very fortunate. But the other thing is this, Ted, if you understand what law does, and I presume that you do, law does modify behavior. And if the law gives women a green light to do all the irresponsible things that many communities don't do, this is an American problem. This is a first world problem, worse in the United States than in other areas. I just want to make that contrast. But I also want to come back full circle and say that the law does moderate behavior. You and I both agreed with that, being reasonable people. So if the law gives women, like I said, the green light to be completely irresponsible in the reproductive arena, then we're going to get more of what we're getting, correct?
Well, so, no. And let me just keep that thought, right? So here's what I think laws should change. And I wish the guy Joe was still on. He's from Montana. I heard that they had no speed limit. You know, I used to have my car was the fastest production car in the 80s. I had my car was so fast,
Hey, Ted, can you stop making this about you? The man asked you a direct question, and you could not answer it.
Rich, chill out.
Lord have mercy.
Here's what I want to say. I think speed limits need to be changed. I should be allowed to drive as fast as I want on a highway. I'm a good driver. I have a fast car, and I think I should be allowed to drive as fast as I want. For some reason, they don't change the speed limit, and if I decide I'm going to do 100 miles an hour and I get caught, I'm going to get a ticket. There's a penalty for that. So they won't increase the speed limit to accommodate me and others who have fast cars who want to race down the highway. So I understand the playing field, and if I risk speeding, I understand the consequences, or I can stay within the boundaries of the speed limit, and that way I don't get a penalty. So if men understand that the laws of the court system, family court, child support, it's the same thing. You might not like what they are. You might want to be able to do what you want, but there's a penalty. And if you're going to be irresponsible about the penalty, I can't sympathize with you. Don't eject
that. Ted, let me say, I agree with you on one hand, and I disagree with you on the other hand, but you're not connecting the dots. First of all, you've got to look at the substrate that you're dealing with. Oh, by the way, in Montana, that's only during daylight hours and on the freeway, as I last understood it, where there's no speed limit or a very high speed limit. Getting back to the point, Ted, and I think this is a little bit unfortunate that you keep making it anecdotal, okay? You should look at the broader population. And if you look at women as being adults and free, responsible adults, yet the law does not hold them responsible, then you have an unequal treatment or application of the law. And I mentioned to you in 73, prior to 73, prior to Roe versus Wade, bastard children or out-of-wedlock children did not have the same legal rights. In other words, they changed the law to make it the way it is now. So that's what I'm saying to you, and you're not addressing that. You're sidestepping that.
No, I'm saying stop impregnating women.
But look at the men who are doing it. They're not going to stop. They are the men who are raised by the single women who are not raised with principles and morals. They are from the pipeline from the school to the prison. So these are about 80% of those men. They're judgment proof. Okay. Generally, these women are choosing the worst men to get impregnated by because they have no accountability. And these men are judgment proof. They go to jail. I mean, that just adds to their resume, as it were. Go ahead.
So, and what I'm going to say is going to sound like probably worse than a misogynist. Men have to stop hiring women in the workplace.
Wait a minute. I didn't quite catch that.
Men have to stop hiring women in the workplace. Stop giving them jobs. That we need to roll out full equality. So if you want to be a fireman, you have to do exactly what men do, carry a 200-pound dummy for X amount of feet. You can't do it, you're out. You want to be in the military, you have to do what men do. We don't put you in combat, we give you some administrative duties if you want to be in the military. We need to come down on hard. If you want to be a medical doctor, a gynecologist, you need to put in the 80-hour weeks that men put in. You want to be a lawyer, you have to do that, or we can make you a paralegal if you want a job, or we make you a secretary. Because there are a lot of educated women getting pregnant by these men you're talking about who make up only 18%. So if
nurses are some of the worst people in terms of getting pregnant from the statistics. But go ahead.
So I'm saying we need to be cold and harsh and come at the, so the laws are not going to do it. We can, like you said, it'll take something. Men could lobby. You could create a pact, and you could have laws change. You can do that. And I'm all for that, right? But men are going to have to put money behind it. You're going to have to find your politicians who will support you, and you're going to have to fund them, or you're going to have to put your own politicians in office and say, you need to protect our agenda. And like we put, let's say your son, if you have a son or your nephew, or we're going to put some man in the Senate or the House, and he's going to protect our agenda, and he's going to rally support, and we're going to get laws passed as a pact. That is, and you have to put money behind that.
Right. I agree with that talk that you say. I definitely, look, it's not like I don't agree with a lot that you say, but some of it I certainly don't, that the laws should stay the way they are. But I do agree that men should have these necessary discussions with women. But also, I would say men need insurance. I promoted this idea a long time ago. I was connected with a men's organization. Men need insurance. Insurance would give them what you would call a buffer. If you had, quote-unquote, male insurance, and then you would have lawyers arguing on your side. Men could change this. But like I said to you a moment ago, the vast majority of men that are getting caught up in the child support system are men who are judgment proof. They are the products of women's irresponsible behavior, you know, fucking Pookie and Ray Ray, as it were, and other ne'er-do-wells, if I can say that word. And so these men are immune to standards themselves. They're just like their mothers.
And, if I can interject real quick to my man that's talking, and what that also perpetrates is the men that they do choose, the ones you're talking about get pregnant by, that put a bad stereotype on all black men. They be like, see, I told y'all black men don't take care of their responsibility. Black men don't do such and such and such. But look at who the dude, you see what I'm saying? Y'all procreating the same men that y'all complain about. So I'm at a loss with that. But please continue, sir.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ted.
So men are going to have to take a stand as opposed to getting off on all fours and letting women drive a strap on up their ass, which is a lot of men have done, and they've given up. They've given up, and so saying that the government and the courts and we can't do anything, look, we own the seed. We own life. Life comes from us, not from the woman.
Mm-hmm.
She is, and this is going to sound cold. I said up front, some women may call me an arrogant asshole after this. Women are a host for our seed.
Hey, they like those, by the way, Ted. Keep it up.
They what?
They liked women like assholes.
And that's their problem.
Let me say this. I have no problem with the woman liking assholes. The thing of it is, she should just have to bear the reality of having chosen an asshole.
And perhaps this is why the women who live with me made sure they didn't get pregnant.
Well, you know what? If a woman, look, there are some men, and I study this, there are some men who put absolute fear in women because the women know that fear is real, and these women don't step out of line. They don't mess over these men. But like I said to you, a woman's professional degree doesn't determine her moral behavior. Because I mentioned to you about this doctor out of Chicago, I can't call her name right now, but any of you can look it up, who, like I say, harvested the sperm of another doctor through fellatio and impregnated herself and then charged this guy with child support. Now, the courts supported her in that. You know, even though they said once he deposited the sperm, it was hers. And so she could do with it as she chose, which, you know, so the courts are completely corrupt on this issue. They're not going to change because it benefits them. Everything the woman does out of order benefits the system in some way or another. I mean, it benefits a certain group. It makes money for a certain group. Now, it hurts society overall.
Correct.
But, you know, so be it. But men are just going to have to Weisenheimer up. They're just going to have to get sharp about it, and they're going to have to – legislators are not really going to do anything about it because it benefits them too. They're paid off by – damn, I wish some of you guys had looked this up, but look up those two prison – it's only two last time I checked. And these guys make a lot of money. They supply everything to the prisons, all the toiletries – you know, you name it. And that's big business. So they want these single mothers to produce these bastard children in large quantities, these what you call reprobate kids, and they want them to end up in the jail system because then they can sell products and build prisons. They love it.
Well, they get low labor. Whole Foods is one who uses prison. I think Payless is another. So there are corporations that use prison labor, and so it's cheaper than even going overseas. So it's a great deal.
I didn't even mention that. The fishing, leather industry, furniture industry, credit card industry, license plate industry. You just sparked a synaptic response there. But you're right. That's another financial motive to keep the system the way it is. So, men, you're being demonized. There's a good book written by Warren Farrell called The Myth of Male Power. It lays out a lot of the disparities in the system and in social relationships between men and women. And these are primarily in first-world countries. Other countries don't put up with this crap. I mean, women know better than to cross men in many other countries than in America. And that's why you have a lot of men leaving America to find women from other cultures where the women are more traditional.
So let me tell you where the men are striking back in Israel. So the women have gone overboard, worse than what you see here in the U.S. They accuse men of physically abusing them, even though the guy never touched her, and the guy gets arrested anyway. There was a guy, he was an Uber driver. He's recording this whole interaction, and the woman starts slapping herself, ripping her clothes. She calls the police, and the guy says the whole thing is recorded. They still arrested him. So what are men doing? They're doing what I said. Women are having a hard time finding a job now. Women are seen as such a liability and a risk that they won't hire them. So women are going to be sleeping on the streets soon. And as someone said, let's stick to the U.S. So this is only human behavior. It doesn't matter what country you're in. It's a matter of men taking a stand and saying, these are the boundaries, and when you cross them, you pay a price. You may pay a price individually, or you pay a price collectively. But men are not it's what you said, Richard, is that some men are so serious and present themselves as being dangerous assholes that women know that there are boundaries and they will not cross them because that guy is not a joke.
Oh, absolutely. And just to parallel your situation, you just sparked another thought. I have a screensaver of this lady. She was an assistant district attorney in Texas, and she berated an Uber driver. I mean, she just she ended up getting fired because the guy recorded what she did. But it's just she told him, hey, if you call the police, they're going to arrest you. You know, I'm an assistant DA, da 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 da. And she was like inebriated, but because she was a woman, she thought she could get away with that. Now, right. I don't know what happened to her. I didn't follow it after that. But, you know, now this not hiring women, that kind of struck a chord too. And as a result of what has recently happened, you know, a lot of women have been put out of work. But women are usually not required to qualify as men are. I think it was wrong the way they brought women into the workforce, you know. They just basically said, if you go to college and get a degree, but they didn't have to come up through the ranks like the men do. But men have to speak out against that. We have a lot of problems, Ted. Lots of problems.
I know I've heard from quite a few men who work in sales, and there are women who work in sales, and they don't make their quotas. When the men perform badly like those women, the men are fired. Bang, you're out. They don't fire the women because they say, oh, she's a single mother, you can't do that. But yet you can fire a guy, but you can't fire a woman. So men have, it's what you just said, men have, this is what I keep saying, men have to take a stand. You have to
lawsuits. Specifically, let's say what that stand should be. File a damn lawsuit. Men often take it. They just get fired and they go look for another job. They don't, or you know, career. They don't fight. So men have to realize you're in the fight of your life, because women fight to the death. They have a knife in their teeth and a rifle with the bayonet on the end, and it has your name on it.
I understand, but here's the deal. I did a show. There's an undercurrent, and no one's talking about it. And I don't want to sidetrack us, but there is a trend, a growing trend of men killing their pregnant women. They're saying, and some of them are married, or
yes,
it's a side chick, and no one's been keeping the stats. But there are about 10 states that do, and it's a growing trend of men saying, look, I don't want to have a child. I'm not ready. I'm not financially. Even married guys saying, look, honey, we can't have another, we can't afford another child, and she's going to have it. And she ends up disappearing or dead. And this, it's a growing trend. So what I'm getting at is women are pushing men into a corner. And if men strike back, there's no way women can have all the weapons they want. When men, the biochemistry of men allow us to be way more aggressive and angry than women. And the sting will be way more than women can handle.
Let me just say, you are 100% correct there, but I think you should never say again, I mean, I'll listen to you in the future, but you should never say again, a man impregnates a woman. That's the wrong language to use. because that's, again, it's inadvertently or maybe unintentionally creating women as victims, whereas they are in no wise victims.
Okay, I get you. Hey, Red Pill Ghost, quiet. And go ahead, Kendrick, and Red Pill Ghost, I want to hear you after that. I'm going to be silent for a few, so go ahead, guys.
But I wanted to go back to what you were saying, though, to you, about these husbands and these dudes starting to kill these pretty sad chickens, these pretty wives. But that's the thing that I wanted to add on to that. They don't need to, they need to stop pushing these dudes to that breaking point, to you. Because a lot of dudes, they got patience to wait. That's the part that a lot of them don't understand. These dudes can wait. A real man will sit back and he'll wait and then he'll strike hit. That's what I've been noticing over a few years now. But then again, I could be wrong. I would like for any of you brothers to correct me. Anybody on the line? Oh, snap, I done lost everybody. Where everybody go?
Hey, Red Pill Ghost, go. Oh, damn, you dropped off. No, you're cool. You're still there, Kendrick. Everyone's here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was trying to make sure somebody else had a chance to go, these men, a real man, like you said, going to be patient. But his patience is only so long before that man's patience wears thin to it.
So the real point of this show, should men stop impregnating women? And you know what, Richard, I hear you. Don't say that men impregnate women. But what I want men to get is they have power over this possibility or probability of pregnancy, as opposed to being a victim of the woman in the court. I'm saying men can make choices. And Reggie dropped off the line. He was upset and said, this shouldn't be about me. I get that.
I think a better way to phrase it, I'm just thinking out aloudly, is men should stop having unexplained or undefined sex with women they don't really know. And maybe that could be truncated or shortened, but I think that's really what, because look, Tom Likas, I used to listen to him. Tom Likas talked about this a lot too. And so what you would do is give the women a psychological exam other than just having sex with them. So you in essence knew those women. And you express to them your real desires, and most men are not. See, men aren't taught to really deal with women effectively. They're just. I'm going to say we, because I'm an American. We are just taught basically to cater to women. We have to teach ourselves. Are you still there?
Yes, sir. Everybody's still here.
Yeah, we have to subsequently teach ourselves how to deal with women. It's a rare man that knows how to deal with women. Now, I often say I studied pimps at one time, or people who call themselves pimp, and a pimp was defined as part man, part woman, and part demon. And so pimps often know how to deal with women, control women. Other men do too. But men in general are not taught how to deal with women. We're taught to take them on dates, pay for the dates. I say a man should start out, Ted, if you're listening, to never pay for dates a woman you haven't had sex with. Take her to a coffee shop, a park, or something like that. Men could start very early at what I call the entrance stage. Stop giving women free stuff. They don't deserve it. The only women that deserve something free possibly are women that are your girlfriends and, of course, your relatives, but not strange-ass women. Now, women will tell you that they deserve stuff from you for free, you know, just going out with them. But men have to start resisting that. So I think it sort of starts there. What do you think?
I'm with you, Mr. Richard, because I want to be careful how I say this, but I do believe men and the majority of us as a whole, like you saying, that them Disney cartoon movies was a lot to be, that them brainwashed a lot of men.
Exactly.
And being this gentleman and all that stuff, that's how a lot of us were raised.
That's right.
And but like Ted talking about them assholes and all them type, them the ones that's causing all these problems out here.
Now, see, the thing that is, men will clown other men. Sometimes when I say this to other foolish men who are what I call pussies and wimps, they will attempt to push back on my saying, when you first meet a woman, you don't owe her anything but courtesy if she's courteous to you.
Exactly.
But paying for 4-star and 5-star dinners, let her know that she doesn't deserve that. And that's part of what Ted was talking about, is being very open and direct with women, which, like I say, men are just taught to treat all women like their mothers, and that is so disrespectful. If a woman ever tells you to treat her like you did your mother, you should kick that bee to the curb, because she doesn't deserve what your mother deserves. If your mother was good to you and raised you, your mother sacrificed to you
But now, on the contrary, sir, the reverse.
Let me just finish this point. See, a new woman that you're just meeting hasn't done anything for you, so she doesn't deserve anything but respect if she behaves in a respectable manner. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I agree with you. But in the flip side of what you just saying, all those nice, caring, loving, submissive, humble type of attributes men looking for in wives, and those are the traits that slowly but dwindling away from the American culture. If it's safe for me to say that.
Okay.
And that's why we outsourcing women overseas. I mean, let me rephrase it. I mean, a lot of other men outsourcing women overseas for that.
Right, where women are more traditional. Women in America, for a large part of them, now those who if this doesn't apply to them, and I don't know if there are any women on the line, they can speak up and make themselves known, but many women in America have just been taught to be combative with men. They're not good wife material.
Let me say something. So, like I said, this show was made straight talk, like brutally straight talk, and it's made for men by men, and women need to hear what men, how men really think. But at the same time, I've got to tell you, women only do what men allow them to do.
Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that, Ted, men have to be made cognizant of the range of options, and they're not. There was a guy who attempted to go to various college campuses to teach, because they were talking about rape culture, to teach men how never to be accused of rape. And you know they didn't want it, because what it does is it teaches men about the seedy side of women, about the dark side of women. And our society doesn't want that to be the case. So that's why they basically keep us stupid. And let me just say this, if you don't mind. I don't want to promote a show on your show, but Kevin Samuels does a great job at talking to women about their choices.
Right.
And
yes, he does.
Yeah, and he is a mixture of Tom Likas. He's a mixture of the best, and of course of you, because, you know, all of us say some of the same things, but he has live conversations with women. And
right.
I think that is very illuminating for a lot of men, because a lot of men can't say to women what they really feel or don't say.
Okay.
They probably can, but they don't.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Well, hold it, Kendrick. This is what I'm getting at. That's my whole point. Either you're going to get on all fours and let her plug you up your ass with a strap on, and you need to know that's the position you take in life, and I don't want to hear anything about courts because you chose that position. Or you're going to stand up, and it's not about stand up and be a man. As Reggie West Coast would say, make her earn it. So you're taking her out for all these things. And when it's going to come down to sex, when it comes down to so many things, men literally allow themselves to be led by women. And right. I'm going to assert that women resent that. And in their resentment, they're attempting to get men to check them. And all men keep doing is cowering more and more. And she's going to keep pushing you until you explode, and she's going to get something that she doesn't want.
And she's going to mess around, and he's going to be done brutalized up there, or he's going to be done committed murder. And this
yeah,
is what I'm with me and you.
The other underside of this is we just don't inform men of what you just said. Like this, what we're saying right now would be considered misogynistic, whereas what we're doing is keeping it from being misanthropic. In other words, we're preventing misandry. But like Warren Farrell talks about, is men are considered disposable. So it's okay for the society and women and men to abuse men. And so we have to really air these things. I know you're doing your part, and hopefully all of us are doing a small part. But I do recommend Kevin Samuels, and I used to recommend Tom Likas, but Kevin Samuels is the new kid on the block. So
right.
I think we are getting some good information. But if you look at young boys, they're taught to cater to women. That's the way our society forms them, forms their mental outlook toward women. And that's the reason we can't look at women and say, hey, you're full of crap or you are crap, which some women are. And what we want to do is find women who aren't crap and who aren't full of crap.
So I'm going to say something unpopular, but first I want to give a big shout and thank you to SW for the super chat. Got to show my support. Thank you. Part of the problem, Richard, is we've been taught that our mothers are these like sacred, the divine feminine, and we get taught all these things. Sometimes the crappy woman in your life is your mother. And if you can't check your mother, how will you ever be able to check any other woman? So psychologically, once you have your mother as the feminine and you have to protect her, and your mother is made of sugar and spice and everything nice, and so are other women. Take care of them. They're innocent.
Let me just get clarification there, Ted. But you're talking about a man as once he becomes an adult. You're not talking about.
I need you to hear me out.
Okay.
I'm saying, but boys are indoctrinated with this stuff, and I checked my mother at 16. Perhaps it was when I was 12 because she struck back when I was 12. But definitely at 16. And I did it. My mother was in the kitchen. My father was in the den, which is right next to the kitchen. And I had one foot in the den and the other in the kitchen. And I didn't know about the word entitlement or all of that. But essentially, I told my mother she was entitled to nothing and my father owes her nothing. And man, she blew up like a volcano. She was upset. But I was 16 and muscular, and what are you going to do? That's been my attitude. What are you going to do? I said what I said. God, I hate to say that. Man, I can't believe that came out my life. I said to my mother, I said some things that she clearly didn't like. And I'm the oldest of four, and my siblings, the whole family. And my mother didn't like it. My father said nothing. He just kept reading the paper. But I was checking my mother and standing up for my father at the same time. And not that, you know, my father's a big dude. So But I think guys don't do that enough. And if you wait till an adult, hey, it's better late than never. But you need to be checking your mother, because you need to be watching her behavior to understand that if your mother can do this, so can any other. So if you grow up with rose-colored glasses that your mother is just this angel and she never has to do anything, that she should be catered to all the time, you're going to go into the world and you're going to just get run over. It's like you're going to be crossing a freeway blind. So go ahead.
Well, I think that's very interesting there, because I think this is age specific. Let me just say, I have the highest respect for good parents, and I would just say one should be very cautious, you know, as a juvenile or as an young adult, especially if one is living in their parents' house, because mothers are part of the parental authority. So I don't know what all of your case specifically, it sounds like something obviously that your father at least tacitly agreed with. But I was mainly speaking of men, once they become men, then they stand in a position possibly to dialogue with their mothers. But I would approach that very gingerly.
Yeah, so by the time a man is an adult, he's already probably been slapped around by some girl he thought was made of sugar and spice and everything nice. So
but I understand that. But I mean his mother. And I'm not saying mothers are perfect, but I'm saying if you have a good parent, it sounds like you come from a good two-parent household. And I wouldn't be in favor of young people checking their parents. If their parents are providing for them and doing the things that parents basically should do. Does that make sense? Do you follow me on that?
Yeah, I've had people tell me that that was disrespectful. I told women that I did that. They were like, I would never accept that from my son. But it's like, really, honestly, what are you going to do? You're going to be mad at me for the rest of my life? If I said something that was inaccurate, then correct me. I didn't
right.
say anything that was inaccurate. So, see, this is a challenge when you're, especially a teenager. So a teenager is growing into his own adulthood, and he's got to be able to express and communicate things. So you can stifle him and shut him down. But what this, and that's what happens with a lot of guys. They get shut down, and so when they get into relationships, they carry that same mindset of allowing themselves to be shut down. I did not.
Right. And since your father was there, that sort of lends corroboration, because he could have checked you if it was necessary. But I do agree full-heartedly, totally, and that was the point that I brought up, is that oftentimes mothers tell their sons to cater to women, and they don't point. Go ahead.
No, the mothers are setting you up. And a lot of guys don't see this. This is part of what I'm getting at. It's almost like there's a co-conspiracy between women. Your mother set up. Your mother's the first setup.
Wow. Now, that wasn't my experience per se, but I understand what you're saying.
No, listen, I had great parents, right? Well,
right.
What I'm all. And my mother said, look, I remember her saying, oh, you know, we have a friend, this woman is a friend of the family. I need you to be cautious of her daughters. They may try and trap you and get pregnant. Like, my mother would drop things and say things, right? When I was a little boy, she told me, never let a girl hit you. If a girl hits you, you hit her back. So, my mother had some level of protection with her sons, but she
right.
there's also this, there's an entitlement that your mother can have that's not healthy. It's that any woman will have, and it's not healthy for any relationship. And that's a big challenge that we have in the U.S. that women are allowed to be entitled and there are no boundaries. And I also watched, you know, there are two boys and two girls. I watched my father tell my sisters that they could do no wrong. If I did something on Monday, I was punished Monday. My sister did the same thing on Tuesday. My father hugged and kissed her and said she could do no wrong. You just set her up. You just set her up to be entitled. What you're also
right.
teaching boys at the same time that girls and women are untouchable.
Right, right.
So you don't.
Well, Ted, let me just say, you're right. Boy, these are big issues. These are heavy, necessary issues. And look, I agree with you. And I think that's why it's so important to go over this repeatedly, especially once we become adults. But no parents are perfect. They're the best thing we have. And I do see some sisters oftentimes will protect their younger brothers. They'll give them, as they say, game, tell them about women, because they're women. They know some of the games that women play.
Right.
But overall, I think you're right. I think parents, and I'm not totally blaming them, I think parents do kind of set their sons up for abuse by women. I really do.
And if you had a single mother, is even you get set up even worse.
Oh, shit. It's off the chart. Well, look here. I've enjoyed speaking with you. I may even play this back at some point. But look here. You have a great evening and a fantastic conversation.
Thank you. Hey, just one quick statement. The reason I wanted to have this show was so that men could actually not only make better decisions, that they actually have a better criteria for qualifying a woman if they choose to get pregnant, as opposed to just, as you were saying, catering to her and just being lucky to have a woman in their life.
100%, absolutely, absolutely. And this is the thing that I say we're oftentimes shut down. Our society does that. It's done at the society level, which means all of us do it and all of our institutions do it. So we've got to open this up for healthy dialogue and say to women, and that's one thing that Mr. Samuels does, is the beautiful thing that he does, and it's the same thing we're talking about here, is he finds out what kind of woman the men want, and then he says, well, what do you have to offer those men? Do you know those men? How do you qualify? And he talks about being fit, friendly, and feminine. And so he makes some good points that we all benefit from. Now, I think he generally only allows women, and maybe you do that sometimes too. You have a show where you only allow women, because we need to hear their points and deal with them too. But that being fit, feminine, and friendly is, I think, very important, especially the fitness and the friendliness. And a lot of women in America today are angry. They're unfit physically. They're angry. Oh, man, they're angry.
But see, here's the problem, that those things don't make her an asset in your life. I'm sorry. I understand the premise. That's not what makes a woman That's not enough to get her to earn a 4-star dinner or a ring on her finger or my sperm. None of that is enough.
Sir.
See, that's not – we're still – see, even he is still letting women off the hook from being an asset. Men are obligated almost by law to be an asset to a woman.
Right.
Potential asset. We don't require that a woman earns her keep. And no one –
okay, explain what you mean, please. I'm curious.
Okay, so a woman who's really qualified, I'm going to ask you first, what's a major asset a woman can bring into a man's life?
Oh, goodness. Like I said, okay. What those three that I just mentioned, I agree with those. Good attitude, her fitness, that opens the door. Okay, now her supportiveness, her loyalty, and I'm going to say her active participation in whatever my program is.
Yeah, see, and here's now, see, now you just opened the door to the gap. right? You just open the door and there's nothing there except a drop to your death. Because, and this is what men are missing. They're not requiring anything of a woman. Right? So a woman can take acting classes and do all those things, and she can go be fit, or she can go pay, get liposuction and keep her body with the appearance of fitness and not be fit. Right? You get where I'm coming from with that, right?
Right, right.
So here's what I say to people who listen to me. If she doesn't have, if she can't open doors for you that turn into opportunities for you, she's not an asset. She's going to be a leech. So
Can you give me a quick example?
Absolutely. So the ideal situation, and I have clients like this, the ideal situation is you meet a woman, the father owns a significant company, and he has either no sons or you could be a potential president for his company as the successor. That's an ideal perfect, right? That woman has, and that woman has two parents, and her parents have a network that you can do business with. And ultimately, you inherit daddy's company, and you run it. And this girl has learned from her mother how to be supportive to father who's a successful businessman. That's an ideal situation. Not every woman's father owns a significant company. The second best is just the network. That means you have to have two parents, and you have a valuable network from your mother and your father. Now, the value of a woman's network tells you what kind of guy she qualifies for. If all the people you know are flipping burgers and at the cashier at Wendy's and whatever, McDonald's, then you need a man who values that network. Don't go after the guy who's a partner in a international law firm and you can't open a single door. That's why you see a lot of these guys who become wealthy, or they're smart athletes who open businesses, they end up marrying a woman who can open doors for him. So a woman who has a network and is willing to share that network. Now, I see a woman who's smart and has a valuable network, she values her network more than her body, because she'll open her legs for you before she opens her network to you. And so that's a woman who's an asset, because once she opens her network to you, she can't screw you up, because she may be screwing up relationships that maybe her parents, or she met from college, or you know, wherever else she met these people. And now she's got to be a teammate to help you leverage and work that network. I've seen men who are married to a stay-at-home mother who is a soccer mom, took the kids to soccer practice, and that woman was able to get her husband clients by networking with the other women, and she was strategic. She'd ask the women, so what does your husband do? What is yours? And the woman who was like, oh, wow, that sounds like a good match. Great. She invited them over for dinner. She cooked a fabulous dinner. The husbands went into another room, smoked cigars. Her husband closes a $1 million account, and they move up like the Jeffersons, right? So that's a woman who's working for you. And if she's unwilling to do that, she's unwilling to be an asset.
Good point. Yes, definitely, definitely.
She can be good. Fit. Now she needs to be. So now it's not about being fit and friendly. It's like you need social skills to do that and to be good at it.
Right, right. Well, I think, you know, just, and I'm not standing up for him or anything, I mean, except to where he's right. No, I think he was just saying from a, from an initial perspective, that's what allows men and women to come together.
Absolutely.
And oftentimes you it's hard dating. Dating is very difficult. And he was just saying what will allow us to initially connect with each other. Now, what you've just said is the next level, or several tiers upward, which is I call coalescing or growing together, collaborating. But to meet a person initially, he's saying that these are some very valuable attributes that women could manifest: fitness, feminine, and friendly. And I concur with that.
Yeah, I like I said, I take nothing from that, right? And those, so I love meeting women. You know, the two women I lived with, I met them walking down the street, literally. And their social skills and how they respond to me will tell me a lot.
Right.
This whole thing of being introduced by friends and all that, you can do a great acting job. But if I meet you cold, you're going to tell me who you are.
Now, are you dating right now, if I may inquire?
No, I'm not.
Is it pretty easy in your ambit? Is it pretty easy for you to connect with women, or are there sufficient ones there?
I live in New Jersey. If there was a bridge, I'm walking distance from Manhattan. There are 8 million people in New York City. There is more than sufficient.
yeah, for sure. Well, all right, Ted. Well, again, thanks a lot. Learned a lot and enjoyed the conversation. And I'll see you next time, sir.
Man, loved your contribution. Excellent, man. Love your thoughts. And, love the fact that you're aware of so many facts. So I appreciate your engagement with us. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. So Deanna has joined us. We have a woman here. So what is it you agree with, Deanna? I'm just curious. And Kendrick,
Oh yes, sir. Your boy gonna still be here.
So what are your thoughts about what we just spoke about women being an asset?
I totally agree, cause she need to be able to bring some type of significance into your life, Ted. And one of the main important significance is her uterus and her womb, Ted. But anything outside of it, she needs to be able to open some doors or something for you.
Yeah, but even children, that's it's not like you're going to have an unlimited amount of children. I was looking up for surrogate mothers, and you can only, if a woman wants to be a surrogate mother, if she has one child, she can only be a surrogate four times, and that's it. So there's a like a shelf life, right? It's not eternal. So her uterus is not eternal for her.
And that's what I want to do is understand. Unless you're a Rockefeller or a Gates and you got access to maybe 200-300 women for surrogate mothers, that's a whole nother story to you.
Right,
and I stand in agreement with you.
And let me address something. SW, the reason why most women are not an asset is because what we were talking about earlier is that men don't have a spine to stand up and have any kind of expectation. So why should they? You know, look, this happens in corporations. So in a corporation, if you allow people to underperform, so they get paid, right? They don't do their job. They pass the buck, and they still keep their job, and they still get paid, and they might even get a raise. Well, the people who do their job are going to see that, and eventually their performance of it is going to drop, and they're going to be like, hey, I still get paid, so why should I care? And no one cares. That's exactly what happens in our society. If you allow people to underperform and you still reward them, then everyone else sees that. So the reason why a lot of women are not an asset is because men don't even think, they don't even think to look for that. So she's going to get rewarded anyway. So those men who get that, technically they kind of deserve it because they don't even know to look for anything else. So you know, that might sound cold, but there are too many men on all fours getting plugged up the ass, man.
Mm-hmm. But not your boy, though, Pete.
Can't complain. They can't be complaining. And so women think that that's what all men are going to do. But there are enough guys there's a small percentage of guys who don't do that.
Yeah, and I'm one of them, because I'm being real smart, T. I learned that lesson a long time ago, T. If I know I'm going to lose, why gamble? If you know the house going to always win, T. Now, that's something my old gangster told me. Son, that majority of the time, the house going to win. So if you scared to gamble, don't even play.
I've been to Atlantic City a few times. I care nothing about gambling because it's set up so the house wins.
Right.
They have to let some people win so you keep coming back. I knew a guy who was the former CEO of one of those huge gambling casino and hotels, and he said that most of the hotels on the slots, the odds of winning on a slot machine, they were very low. Well, for his hotel, he increased the odds for people to win, and basically they got more money because more people found out that they could win on their slot machine. Except the fact of the matter was still what you said. No matter what, the house was going to win. The house had to make money most of the times on the slot machine. It's just...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe in the other hotels, 1 out of 100 people won, but in his hotel was 1 out of 50. So more people came there because they had a better chance of winning, except only 1 out of 50 means the house still wins.
Yeah, man, that's my point. So the gambling, the house in this situation here is the women. And, you know, and if you know it's set up to favor the women, why you know what I'm saying? A lot of dudes, Red Pill, MGTOW, they say, but why even take the chance? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, guys are not having, they're really not having adult conversations up front with women. And they pay a price. And the guys who do, women are not accustomed to it. They're like, why are you asking me all these questions and blah, blah, blah. So, that's what happens. So what I'm getting at is men are creating this world that they seem to be complaining about. I see.
Man, for certain that he.
So any other thoughts in Indiana? I'll keep that.
Yeah, that DM. Yeah, Ted, this is a big old gamble, boy.
Okay, so she said, I feel the women you speak of are from your generation. This generation of women want and at times do more than men, but are also called feminists for doing more. So what does that mean, they do more? I don't know what that means.
I didn't quite catch that question, Pete.
That I feel the women you speak of are from your generation. This generation of women, meaning hers, this generation of women want and at times do more than men, but are also called feminists for doing more.
I'm not quite sure I'm catching it, because you should ask her which generation is she talking about.
She's talking about,
I'm a millennial.
She's 20. She's 20.
So she's younger than me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So that makes her the Generation Z. But I don't know what things women are doing that is more. But more independent, but see, being independent has nothing to do with what you do in a relationship.
Right.
If anything, being more independent means you're doing nothing in the relationship. That could sound like you're saying, I don't need you and I don't do anything. Like SW saying, for example. So we want to know, what are these things that women are doing more than men? What
well,
are those
for
things?
One, making money. Money-wise, I believe.
That has nothing to do with the relationship, though. See, I want to understand, what things are you doing more than men? So having a job doesn't mean you're an asset in a relationship.
Well, that's true. Now, I agree with you with that. But I would ask you this. Now, do they still make up the majority of the workplace?
I don't know. Probably not after COVID. But see, a woman could go to work and get a job making $150,000. I've seen women be stay-at-home moms and be worth millions of dollars because they knew how to
take care. I have heard about that, Ted. You got some millionaire stay-at-home wives. Yes, you do, too.
No. What I'm saying is those women networked and opened doors, and the husband closed the deal and made millions of dollars because of the wife's ability to network. And she did that multiple times.
Got
so she just by networking, she ended up opening doors that were worth more than $150,000,
$200,000. That sounds good there, Carl. I'm glad you couldn't have worded that any better, man, because I was really kind of lost on that. Until you told me that it was the millionaire man that brought the money back into the house with the wife opening up the networking door. I'm glad you worded that.
So, Deanna, how about you don't type? How about you come join us tonight? Yeah, that's what we're talking about, relationships. Yeah. And even if we look at outside of relationships, when it comes to men having a job and capital, I'm not putting you on blast. We love to hear your voice. That's all. We've been listening to men all night, so it's time for us to hear your feminine voice. That's not putting you on blast. So there's a challenge. When men have capital, they will marry an unemployed woman, make a family with her, and make sure the family's well-educated, they have great health. They'll make sure that when a woman makes a lot of capital, she doesn't want to marry an unemployed man. So that means we're cutting out part of our society. Hey, I'm from Jersey. How you doing? How are you? Thanks for joining.
No problem. I like to listen to your streams all the time. I just want to know what guys are saying about women. And it's just good information all around. I'm not discrediting nobody.
Okay. So someone's asking you a question. He said, explain how your independence is beneficial to a relationship.
I'm not sure that it's beneficial. It's just the fact that my generation, so I feel like I've heard y'all talking for a couple streams now. And, you know, some things I do understand, but it's some things that I also don't understand. So, for instance, when you talk about, you know, women, they want to, you know, just sex their way up to the top of their corporations or, you know, whatever has you. I'm just like, well, or also if women want to, you know, have sex with a man, but they're not doing it for the right reasons. But it's like, isn't it the man that's letting this happen? That's just kind of what I don't understand. I understand, yes, have sex with people that you feel that deserves your energy and that you'll put, you know, that type of energy into.
Right.
Also feel you have to own up to who you're having sex with, who you're letting, you know, into your life at the same time. I just feel that a lot of the stuff can be avoided. But then again, you hear that saying, this is a man's world. So don't you feel that women have to play this game differently than men? Men just can't, well, women just can't go up and be like, oh, yeah, I deserve this job because of this, this, that, and the third. They have to prove themselves more than men. And when women do do that and they do prove themselves and they do, you know, get that high job and all this credibility, they're just like, oh, well, they're feminists. You're a feminist because you want to be the same as men, which is fine. You believe what you want to believe. And I can't see the chat, but I know SW was kind of coming after me. I don't know SW, but, you know, we can talk too, bless your heart. But I'm just kind of like, things can be avoided when it comes to certain situations. I feel like a lot of it is just kind of put on yourself. You have to take credibility. You have to take responsibility for what you're doing and who you're doing it with. And if you have a woman in your life where she is, you know, not doing anything for you, she doesn't have any type of, what did you say?
Asset.
Sorry, my friend is there. No asset. You know, she doesn't bring anything. You know, she doesn't, you know, help you expand or anything like that. You need to just take responsibility for what you're doing. That is what you're, I mean, you just kind of brought that on yourself. If that speaks more about yourself than it does about your partner, I feel, because I feel that with women, my generation, we see a lot of things. My generation, we're like really headstrong. Some people might call us sensitive or, you know, whatever. We want a lot of things to change, and a lot of people don't want things to change. But we just want, you know, we know what we want at the same time. But I will say we are a little over the top when it comes to certain things. We get in our heads a lot. But I just feel that everything that you're doing in your life, you need to take responsibility for, and that involves your relationships, your business, your home environment. You need to take responsibility for that. And so I'm just going to go ahead and let you speak on that. I don't want to talk too much.
Okay. So the topic tonight was, should men stop impregnating women? That was the topic. So my concern, and there were a few guys on, and they said, well, the court systems. And I said, well, if you ensure that a woman doesn't have your seed in her uterus, she's not going to get pregnant, right? So you need to have conversations about whether she's on birth control, and you need to be completely responsible for your seed, 100%. Now, a woman is 100% responsible for her uterus and whether or not seeds get into it. And if she's not responsible, then I have no sympathy for her either. But all I'm saying is a man needs to be smart about who he ejaculates into and whether or not she's even qualified to be a mother of anyone's child, right? So that's my concern, and that's what I was talking about. But that conversation got into, well, kind of got off into, if she's qualified, right? Is she an asset to you? And so what are the things you need to know about a woman? Because a lot of guys kind of have an attitude is, I'm just happy to have a woman and I'll do whatever she wants. And so the man is financing the relationship. He's responsible for opening the doors and protect and provide. And if you're married and there's a noise downstairs, the man puts his life on the line for the woman. You know, we're putting our lives on the line for the woman. And I understand a woman can carry a baby, but that's finite, right? That's not perpetual. There's a time period for pregnancy, and it's over. So the real big concern came to, well, how do you know a woman is an asset in your life? And so how is a woman being beneficial? And I don't think that has anything to do with generation, because if a man and woman are going to be together of any age, if you're not any kind of asset to the other person, and I get what you just said, well, that says more about you. So why do you stay with a woman who's not an asset, right? And if it's just about sex, I got that. Then both people need to understand, look, you're not an asset. This is about sex. I enjoy sex with you, and there's nothing else that you offer. And that might sound cold, but it helps people understand the place that they play in your life. And if they want more than that, then they should have to earn it. So what we were asking is, how does a woman be an asset? How does she be beneficial to a man? And you said being independent. So a lot of guys, I think, are confused about how is a woman's independence beneficial to a man? And I think they just want the answer to that.
All right. So I feel that a woman being independent to their man is basically a woman who can do things on their own. They don't need, like, you know, their man's money. They don't need, well, of course, you know, they can share it and everything. But a woman, you wouldn't want just them to depend on you to do things. They wouldn't want you to just, like, be like, oh, can you pay all my bills? And can you take, you know, all, you know, the children to school? And can you do my nails? Can you do this? That's one thing that I do see is that women, they're asking more than they deserve.
Right.
And so it's kind of like, okay, well, do you deserve to have your nails done every 2 weeks? Do you deserve to, you know, get your hair appointments so your man pays for it? Do you deserve, you know, all the Gucci and whatever bags? It's kind of like a woman should be able to do things that she want to do, things like that, on her own. And by doing that, she doesn't have to depend on her man, but she can also, I feel like you can be independent and then also correspond with whatever your man is doing. So you can do your own thing, have your own thing on the side, and then you can also help your man with whatever he needs with business or whatever the case may be. But I just feel like a lot of women, they just depend on men way too much, and they're like, oh, like, I need you to do this, I need you to pay for this, I need you to do this, and just like, just do it yourself. Do it yourself, and then you, like, I feel like that also creates a rift in the relationship because of, you know, it's stressing the man out because he's like, oh, I have to pay for this, I have to do this, and you want this, and you want this, and you want a nice house and a big pool. And it's like, well, what is the woman doing for you? And then that's when I feel, okay, so what does that say about the man? Yes, vice versa. Men, you know, they're grateful to have a woman in their life. But even women are grateful to have a man in their life, and they're just like, oh, like, I'll take a man that treats me like trash, but, like, he'll give me a good Gucci bag afterwards. You know,
well, let me ask you, is that your generation who's saying, pay my bills and get my nails done?
Yes.
Okay. So why did you write, I think you're talking about your generation, when your generation is actually doing it worse?
So with my with your generation, I feel that it's a stereotype. So with women back in the day, it was like, oh, women, they have to take care of, like, you know, 6-8 kids, and they have to just, like, they don't have a good education, and they got to depend on their man. Like, you see the moves. That's just kind of like what I was thinking when you guys were speaking. I'm not in your generation. I don't know, but that's just what I was observing.
That's
from
the media has taught you that.
Exactly. I wasn't brought up in that, but that's just what I was brought up watching.
Right.
I wasn't brought up in it, and I have family members and, you know, stories that are like that, and it's just like, okay, well, where are the women that were, you know, doing things on their own? I'm talking about, like, single moms where they did everything. And I also feel like that, who is this?
I'm a subscriber and I'm a fan of his channel.
And he's in your generation. Actually, he's younger than you.
Oh yeah, the other night. Yes.
Wait, what?
I heard you the other night when y'all were talking.
Okay, cool. How old are you, man?
21.
Are you 21? All 19, so, yeah. Hey, like, huh?
You're 19.
Yes, ma'am, yeah.
Do you have your friends watching this as well?
I don't, no, I don't.
For your friends to watch stuff like this, because I think that a lot of men and women, they need to talk about things that are other than TikTok and stuff like that. I just feel like our generation is kind of just out of control.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, are you like a, independent woman, ma'am, or no? Are you like an independent woman, or do you?
No, I'm not. I'm my parents.
Are you educated?
Yes, I
do. You have a college background?
College.
Oh, congrats, yo. Hey, congrats.
Thanks.
What are you studying, ma'am?
I study business.
Oh, business and marketing, I'm guessing. Are you those types? Okay, cool. Okay. Are you like a high value woman and stuff?
Could you explain?
Are you like a high value? I mean, okay, so are you like a career driven woman? Are you a career driven woman?
I mean, I definitely like to be. I have been working ever since the day, well, the age that I was able to work, and I haven't stopped working. And I feel that it's just, I don't know, business is a great field to get into, especially for people that like to socialize and like to network. That's just like where I'm at right now.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Okay. Are you in school or what are you doing?
I'm a bio major, ma'am. I'm a bio major.
Bio major?
I'm trying to do pre-med and stuff. I'm trying to do pre-med, yeah.
I'm sorry, one moment. You can go ahead.
Go ahead, Mr. Smith. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You're pre-med, so.
I feel like, you know, I'm like, oh, but the process and stuff of, you know, just being pre-med, it's going to be a long process. It's going to be tough, but the hard work will pay off eventually. So, okay. Yeah.
So, Deanna, here's what the men, now that we have someone here in your generation, and I can tell you across generations, successful men do like women who can be an asset, be beneficial to them. And you just told me that your generation wants their nails done and their phone bill paid and their rent paid and they want a Gucci bag and then they want the big house with the pool.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, let's say all of that is fine and I can afford it all. So I work, what I do is I trade my brain power for capital. So I go out and work my butt off and someone in exchange gives me capital. And then when I take that capital, I want to invest it so that I get something in return. Even if I buy food, I buy a shelter, I buy a car, all of those things are beneficial to me. So I've invested in those things and they're assets in my life. So if I invest in a woman, how do I get a return from that woman?
Are you asking me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're the only woman here right now.
You're the only woman here. So
you represent all of America right now. Yes.
All women right now. All women. Generation Z.
Every woman is different.
Then get your friend over there, and we're going to have the two of you together. Have her sit right next to you. I want to see her. Get her up here. Get her on the camera. And if there's two of them, I want to see both of them. I want all of them right here.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Oh, what's up, Ben? Hey, what's up, Ben?
Tell us your name. Don't be shy.
Good evening.
Hey, good evening, my man. Good evening.
Yeah.
We got.
How you been?
You took us out to the club, huh?
SW.
Okay. SW's here.
I'm the one who had a white circle with the...
Yeah.
Whatever the middle of it.
Hey, SW.
All right, like Ted asked you, if I'm doing my thing and we get together, how would I benefit from a woman?
How would you benefit?
Especially if she's independent. How does that benefit me?
And wait, let me say this. You said that you can get your own nails done. So what you're doing is you're not being a liability. That's good, but that doesn't tell me how you're beneficial. Because I'm investing in you. So just telling me what you're not doesn't help me understand what you are. And I want to know. And what we're all asking is, how are you beneficial? And we've got a guy here from your generation, so.
What are your assets?
Okay.
Okay, so you can,
what do you provide?
Tell me how I am beneficial.
Yeah, let me explain it to you. I have cars, I have money in the bank. So getting with you, how does that make me a better, how does that benefit me?
Because how do we have the same aspirations?
What I'm saying, it seems that if I have a house, I got money, I'm straight, you're the one benefiting from me. How am I benefiting from you?
Who says that I have to benefit from you? What if I also have a car and a house and everything?
Okay. You have all of the same things. So how am I benefiting?
But that's
what do you bring at the table, in other words?
So I'm trying to tell you. So I'm saying if we both have to benefit from each other, if we have the same page to actually be able to move forward and to actually take something out of it.
For some reason, you're going in and out.
Yeah, you're breaking up a bit. I was checking to see if it was my signal before I said anything, but you were not breaking up before. You're breaking up.
Yeah, just take your connection and just come back in, man.
All right.
All right, cool. Generation Z.
Country boy.
You got Jenny.
Something's up with his connection, too, so I don't
know.
Take the phone. It might be me.
No, she was breaking up for me. I was first checking to make sure it wasn't me.
Okay, I can hear you fine now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's about the independent, because it's like as an adult, you should be independent, period. So I'm trying to see how that would fit a man in a relationship because you're an adult who takes care of yourself. How does that benefit me?
Well, and that's why I said that makes you not a liability, but telling me what you're not doesn't help me understand what you actually offer. So you're not a liability. Great. So
out of sex, because we can get sex from anyone. So it's like I want to take sex out of the equation completely and just see what I'm benefiting.
Yeah. I don't know. Hey, Mr. Sanchez,
I'm Samuel. It's a difference.
Wait, what are you saying?
I think he was saying something to me, Samuel.
Oh, okay.
Well, my apologies.
Oh, sorry, guys. Yeah, but I'm just saying so that, like, a lot of, just modern females these days, they have, just crazy standards for, a man. It's just, like 6-figure paycheck, $1 million man.
No, that's just that hip-hop. That's the hurrah going on. It's a trend right now with women saying they want high, whatever, making about $30,000 a year. Okay. That's basically just – so it's
Samuel, that's actually been happening for decades, but it was a smaller...
I mean, it's been going on for decades, but in reality, that's not
what I'm saying, the majority is not really getting that, but they all saying that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is it was a small percentage of the population that was asking for that. And I fully agree with that. So it went from a small percentage to then everyone said, well, I'm entitled to that, too.
Kevin Samuel got their head fat.
Well, and I think part of the problem was the whole, the weave wig thing where that before a woman who was a 4 on a scale of 1 to 10, she knew her place. And she wasn't making all these demands. She got with a 4. But now with a 4 puts on a weave and a whole bunch of makeup and says, well, I'm an 8 now.
She's a 2 now.
And she's demanding all this stuff. So I think this is part of where the problem is. And I, and I,
the problem is, oh, so yeah, yeah, think yeah, that yeah, all they got yeah. to do is bring to the table is between their legs, which they can't do nothing with without a man.
But see, well, here's the problem, Samuel, and this is where guys don't want to hear this. That only happened because guys allowed that, man. You get guys.
That's what I'm saying. So still, it still requires a man in order for that to have any kind of value, which it has no value without a man.
Correct. Well, she go to the sperm bank. Deanna's
oh, boy.
So she was going to answer
okay,
the question.
Should I repeat the question?
Let her speak. She's going to answer it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Repeat the question, please.
Oh, we're just
okay.
asking. We're just asking.
You're an adult. You take care of yourself. I'm an adult. I take care of myself. So us getting together, how are you fit to me? Just name one way, because let's take sex out of the equation. Because a man can get sex from anyone. So remove sex completely out of the equation. You are an adult, care of yourself. I'm an adult, I take care of myself. We get together. How am I benefiting? Just give me one way.
Court. Would you like me to explain?
Sure.
Yeah, well, I want you to give an answer, not explain, because explain can go on forever.
She,
just pretty much a direct.
She answered the question. She did answer it. Said work.
So
work.
So if I so say you have a business, like how Ted said.
No. I don't have a business. I'm just an individual who's taking care of me, and I'm good, and I have what I need. But I get with you. So how am I fit?
Well, if you have what you need, then why are you getting with me? That's
because I'm a man. Men want women, and women want men. So I don't want you to deflect like a business. I'm saying the majority of men don't have a business. They're just average men. But if an average man is taking care of himself, he has a house, he has a car, he's good, he wants a woman, like most men want a woman, like, and vice versa, how am I benefiting from an independent woman?
So are you saying that you don't want an independent woman?
Because
I feel like...
No, I ask it again. I'm an average individual. I have a house, I got money in the bank, but we get together and we start talking, how am I benefiting from getting with you?
So I see.
Remove sex out of the equation.
Okay, yeah, sex wasn't the equation. So I feel, okay, so if you have your own thing, you have your own money, you have your own house, you have your own cars, I have my own thing, I have my own money, I have my own house, I have my own cars, why not?
Yes, two adults.
Yes. So why not multiply what we have, and we'll be able to get things that we couldn't even imagine. See, that's
okay. See, that's where you're wrong. Let me re-explain it. I don't want airplanes and Jaguars and Lamborghinis. I'm cool. I just want a relationship with a woman.
Well,
how am I benefiting from an independent woman?
Any type of woman. She doesn't have to be independent. If you just want a relationship, then you can get a relationship from any type of woman. My only thing was, it's the type of woman that you're going to allow into your life. So if you're going to allow a woman to suck all the money, all the energy out of your life, that is on
no. How did you get there? See, you deflecting. Let me explain. Let me ask the question again. I take care of myself. I have a home. I'm good. But I want a woman in my life. How am I benefiting from you?
See,
the average man in America who just wants a relationship, like most people want. It got nothing to do with business or fancy cars or mansions.
So
just a relationship.
You have to ask yourself, why do you want a woman in your life in the first place?
That's because everybody wants. Okay, let me try to explain it again.
No.
A man and a woman. It's called a relationship. So if we get in a relationship, how am I benefiting from you?
But you're just going to go ahead and say the same thing. You don't have to say the same thing.
Because you're getting off subject. You're deflecting.
Well, why do you want a woman in your life? If you want a woman just for the relationship, you can get anything.
Okay. Obviously, you said enough. Because it's like you say, why do I want a woman in my life? That lets me know that you're not ready. Because that's not an answer. That's deflection. Every man wants a woman. Every woman wants a man. So to sit here and say, why do you want them, has nothing to do with how am I benefiting from you.
Asking, what is she going to bring for you if you have
no no because why do I want a woman in my life? So what person wants to be alone?
Absolutely.
Everybody wants somebody. That's why it's called a relationship. But you're not answering the question, though. You're deflecting. You're doing what modern women do. You're not answering the question. You're taking it somewhere else. So I'm asking you.
Now we're going to give her space to answer. You're going to let her uninterruptedly answer the question. Let her just go.
Okay. So I'm saying if you have everything that you need and you just want a woman in your life, okay, that's fine, but what do you want this woman for? Do you want her to bring kids? Do you just want her for sex? Do you want her to just build capital? What do you want this woman for? And that's what you have to look for in life. Now,
I want to know is how am I benefiting from being with you?
And that is up to you. What do you want for her? What do you want?
Okay, so you don't have an answer.
Well, my answer is not a straightforward answer because it's all –
Okay, ask me the same question then, and I'll give you a straightforward answer.
All right, what can I benefit from a man in life?
Okay, leadership, passion, the house to be taken care of inside and out, finances be taken care of, we're going to be good.
Okay.
Sex, well, I'll remove sex. You're going to get attention. You get everything you need in any kind of way whatsoever. That's how you're benefiting.
All of that by
myself
because I'm already independent. So
Hold on. How can you get all of that by yourself? You get protection by yourself. You get love yourself. You get a man to take care of the household yourself and take care of repairs, take care of your car, take care of the finances. How you?
You're damn skippy. I can't get that. You're damn.
So that has – no, see, deflected again. You deflected again. So I'm going to try it again. I'm going to ask myself the same question about how you would benefit me. I would take care of her. Listen, because you're looking for a counter. Listen.
Sam,
you're 21, right?
Hold on, Sam.
You're
Sam,
21.
Hold on, Sam. Hold on. Everyone,
okay.
Slow down. So I'm going to ask you, Deanna, as a woman, what were you taught that a man needs from a woman that benefits his life?
What was I taught?
Yes.
So the thing that I was taught, same old thing. Men have to take up trash. They have to do man work.
And so how does he benefit from having you in his life?
And that's the thing. That's what I have to ask myself. If I can do that, so have a man in my life, I would feel that it would be somebody that I can just apply and just go ahead and, you know, co-create.
Tell me what that looks like when you say multiply. What does that mean?
So if I have a man in my life, I would say I'm looking at a family. I'm looking at a family to be able to do everything that I can to give my kids what I couldn't have in a space where I wasn't. So if I was, you know, just creating a life that, you know, it's just that and what I had. That's my thing. So if I don't have a man, if I don't have a man that has any desire, goals, you know, get stepping.
What you mean, go? I have a home. I have a car. I have a job. I got finances. I got money in the bank. My goals are completed. I'm asking you, how do I benefit from being with you?
So that's my goal. That's just what you have. And if I have the same thing.
Oh, I mean, how many goals should a man have? I have a house, have cars. I got money in the bank. I just want a woman. So how am I lacking goals when I have my goals?
Okay. Your goals, that's just materialistic things. That's what you have.
So, okay. So what are the goals? My goal is to get a woman in my life who I can benefit from.
I answered that plenty of times before.
No, you didn't. You kept saying goal. You deflecting. It's a simple question. I'm going to do it again. With me being with you, you get the benefit. Listen. If you're with me, your car is taken care of. I check it. The house, if it breaks down or has an issue, I take care of it. I go the bill. No, listen, listen. You trying to say listen?
Okay,
I'm asking you to listen.
Okay, hold on, hold on. Both stop. Stop. Hey, Samuel, stop. So
okay.
here's. So let me ask you, Deanna. Aside from taking the garbage out, how does a man benefit you in your life? If you're independent, you have all the, you have the house, the car, your job. How does a man benefit you?
We would have to have the same type of morals. We would have to have the same type of desire.
How does that benefit you?
Because it's somebody that I can depend on when it comes to things like that. When I can depend on myself to do a lot of things, but I can depend on somebody to do things where it might need more than one person.
Right, such as, give me an example.
So say if I want to build something, an organization like the Boys and Girls Club to help other boys and girls, you know, get on the right path.
Wow.
What's wrong, Samuel?
That doesn't do a relationship.
What's wrong?
How is a man benefit? You're talking boys clubs and stuff.
No, hold on.
I'm asking
you
a simple question.
I'm asking.
Okay.
I reversed the
okay,
question.
Okay, you're right.
I reversed the question. So you're saying if you want to build a boys and girls club, a man, you would expect him to help you build that?
I would expect him to be on the same page as me and not just, you know, just sit around or, you know, just support me in what I want to do.
How would he support you?
Wow.
Hold on, Samuel. Hold on.
God damn it. What is wrong?
Hold on. Tell me how he would support you.
So he'll be like, you know what, that's a great idea. And like how you said, if he want to bring people into the equation with, you know, how women, they have to, you know, throw parties and they can bring clients to their husbands and everything. But it's like, it's all about networking to me. And I feel like if I can't get a man that would have just I can't do what I want to do if I have a man that's working at McDonald's. I mean, it's fine and dandy, but I probably just want you for sex at the end of the day.
No, you got a man who has a home, a house, and take care of
stuff.
Hold on, Samuel.
But so I know a lot of people, we like to talk about what we don't want, but tonight I want to just talk about what you do want. So how do you benefit? So Boys and Girls Club, he networks, right? What else? How else would he support you?
He would just support me with everything that with everything that I want. So it doesn't have to just be that organization. If I want to go travel, he's going to come travel with me. And if I want to go, you know, do anything that I want to do, he's going to do it with me. That's just something that I would want in a partner, for them to just be down and do whatever I want to do. And I would be vice versa.
So
you're the leader in a relationship.
If I'm in a relationship, I already know that I would be down.
Tell him what he needs to do for you and support you and all this and boys club and travel.
Hey, Samuel, she was answering my question. I asked her a specific question.
Okay, I apologize again.
She really was answering my question.
Cameron, please see what you look like. I really do.
So hold on.
You won't see what I look like. You can reach me personally. But you're going to still talk the same, stuff, so there's no point. You're making no sense.
No. I'm going to talk. So if you don't like the same, I'm so sorry. But, I mean,
right.
Hold on. Stop.
Why, you're getting emotional in adult conversation.
Samuel.
You still haven't told me how. I benefit from
Samuel,
being with you.
Hold on, Samuel. So I'm like, okay. Deanna. Stop right there. So let me ask you this. So what if you want to do a Boys and Girls Club and he's really not interested? I support you. I'm behind you. But it's not something I'm really into. I don't want to get into it. But I support you.
Yes, as long as you support me and try to down what I'm doing, because I'm not going to do that to you. So you don't have to be 100% go do that, go do this. But it's like, oh, like, that's great, but you don't have to be a part of it.
Okay, good.
So you want a woman.
Huh?
Hold on, Samuel. Hold it. Just time out.
Okay, my apologies. Apologize again.
All right. So, so I got it. So he would support, he would be supportive. He may or may not support you on a specific goal that you have, right? That's what, that's how you would benefit from a guy.
Yeah, see, that's after support me. So if my guy wants to go, you know, start a strip club, I'm probably not.
No, I'm working.
But what are you doing?
Doing my job, taking care of my home, taking care of you, taking care of the house, taking care of your car, taking care of the yard, taking care of the everything taken care of. You don't, what am I, they tell me one thing that I'm getting from you. That's all I'm asking. Tell me one thing if without set that I'm getting from you.
And I said before, you're going to get my support.
Start a boys club and traveling. They got nothing to do with one thing that I'm getting from you to benefit me. I don't care about the boys club. I don't care about traveling. I just want to know one thing that I'm benefiting from being you.
And I told you, that was support. What I was saying.
You brought up support. What the hell is support? Hey, what is support?
Support, okay, babe, like, you're going to be, hey, I'm going to do this. Like, got it. I'll probably, you know, do.
No. I'm working. Everything is straight. I just want a woman in my life. And I'm asking you, how am I benefiting? I don't need you to support me as far as I can go to work. I'm straight without you. But with you, how would I be better?
So you'll have something to come home to and not sleep in your bed.
But I can get that from any woman. I'm asking you in particular.
But is that
what I can come home to a steak and a dog in an aquarium. I want to know as a woman, what are my benefits to come home to my woman? I can come home to any, I can get a stranger at Walmart and come home to her. What are my benefits from coming home to you? Just one thing. Just tell me one thing.
Those women don't care about you. You should go on God.
No, listen to me. Tell me one thing that I'm benefited from coming home to you. One thing. That's all. Just one.
And I told you, I don't know why you have to keep on talking.
No, you haven't fooled me.
I did. That was my answer.
So wait.
Okay.
Let's pretend that I did. You're saying.
I didn't hear you.
Hold on. You're saying your answer is support. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Support how? What's supporting me in what?
All right. So if you want to come home to a woman, if you want to come home to a nice cooked dinner on the table for you after a long.
I can get a maid for that.
Why?
I can get a maid to cook for me. So I'm asking you as my woman. No. Let's keep it real. We're both adults. And don't get emotional. I'm asking you just a straight up question. I can get a maid to cook. I can cook for myself. I'm asking you as my woman, how do I benefit?
Told you this. So
you said you can cook and support me. My parents support me. I get the job support me. I'm asking you benefit.
Okay.
That's in the equation.
All right, SW, you're
not talking
to me because every time I try to say something, you're gonna cut me off.
Because you haven't given an answer. Oh, you're right. It's been a pleasure.
He wasn't cutting you off at all. The guy was speaking the truth. He was speaking the truth, and like, you know, like you're and you're like, you know, just ignorance and stuff. It's just, you know, it's just fucking disgusting. It's just straight up.
I'm just not
going to
keep talking to that person.
No, he brought up boys clubs and traveling, and you can
answer his question at all.
I did.
Thank you.
That's
no, you didn't.
Modern
you
women of these days are like, you know, just delusional with their standards, and you guys don't know how to speak at all. Straight up.
Okay.
I can get a dog. When I come home, that dog will kiss my feet. It's gonna lick my kneecap.
Well,
I can get that. Ask my woman, I'm going to ask you one time. Name one thing I benefit when I come home.
All right, but I already answered that question.
Okay, so it's been real. So you win.
Ma'am, you never, like, you don't just answer the question. You keep, like, repeating yourself, you know, just constantly.
That's because that's
the same thought process over and over again.
That's my answer. So my views are...
Ma'am, you never gave an answer.
Okay. okay, so I told you my answer. I said that it was support. And if you don't see that, then you know what to tell. That was just my answer. So you guys can say, oh, support, and you could have been like, all right, so that's the end of the situation. On and on. And then you had the nerve to call me ignorant. Hold it.
Before we go down that path. So, Samuel, let me ask you this. When she said what she offers, the one thing is support. Are you saying that's insufficient for you?
What is support?
Are you saying that's insufficient for what you would be saying?
No, what I said is that she said she can cook a meal. I can cook myself, or I can get a maid to cook.
I understand.
But the maid is not my woman. I'm asking her as my woman.
Her only answer is support. Are you
support?
That's insufficient for what you're bringing to the relationship.
Then I asked, what is support? And she said cooking.
I can't sugarcoat.
We all gonna be adults to be adults. Because you say you're 21, and I'm asking you to tell one name one guy benefit from coming home.
Hey, hold on. Hey, country boy, yeah. I think you might have an echo in the back. You might have too many devices on. Can you go on mute?
Okay, let me put it like this. I'm gonna ask myself the same question. You come home to me. If I get home before you do, guess what's gonna happen? I done fixed the water heater. I done fixed the stove. I put the bedroom furniture together. I went out and changed your oil. That's how you benefit home to me. When I come home to you, you say, what did I cook?
Okay, see, the thing is, what we had said earlier was that we both...
You never answered the question? They're not answering the question.
So hold up. Let me, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna help her. So, Samuel, technically... she could outsource, just like you can outsource a maid. She can take her car, drop it off, they change the oil. She can pay some people.
But she don't have to, because I'm telling her what I would do.
No, listen.
But she hasn't told me what she would do.
Hold on. What I'm saying is, she technically, if that's your support, she could actually outsource that also. She's got her own home and car. She can drop her car.